session for this morning?
9 o'clock.
It's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you Dwight Roberts with the Skillman Church of Christ, who will do this morning's invocation. Mr. Roberts is a graduate of the Freed Hardeman University and is a candidate for a degree, Doctor of Ministry degree from Truett Seminary at Baylor University. He has spent 11 years as the preaching minister at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Abilene, and since September 2001, he has served as the senior minister of the Skillman Church of Christ in Dallas. Mr. Roberts, we appreciate you being with us to do the invocation. Please rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for your work in the world and for inviting us to participate with you in your care of the creation. We especially thank you for your care for our city. We depend on your provision to survive, and we ask that you bless all of the citizens of Dallas as they go about their lives today. Give wisdom, discernment, courage, patience, and energy to our mayor, our council members, and to all the servants of this city, and reward them for their service. We ask that you bless the least of these in our city today and provide for their needs. Protect those whose work takes them in harm's way. Move us today to break down every barrier that divides us, to overcome every suspicion that deceives us, to allay every fear that paralyzes us, and to remove every prejudice that enslaves us. Give us respect for the diversity of beliefs and culture that are a part of our city. And as we share our own point of view, may we do so humbly and with respect, so that we might live as truly free people. Move us today to remove the bonds of injustice, to share food with the hungry, to provide the homeless with shelter, to cover the naked, to mentor our children, and to love others as we love ourselves. Finally, may our city be a refuge for all who seek peace and the good of others. May it be a place of healing and goodwill. And may your grace be with all in this room today. Amen.
Ms. Davis, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Cadane, can I turn it to you for a special introduction?
I know. Well, wait, let me get organized here real quick.
Okay. I'd like to introduce some young men who will be our future leaders. They're already the pillar of our communities. Is Boy Scouts from Troop 435. Their leader, Ron, is that right? Ron, did I get that right? Ron, is it Landry? Right. And their mother, Wendy Landry. How about that? It's good to have you guys with us today. I'll tell you, these young men work hard. They're all here today moving towards some badges, some scout badges that they will receive after. Today they're working on their communication to citizens in the community merit badge. Now, part of that requires them to attend a council meeting, and then they'll go back and discuss this topic. So I hope we're on our good behavior today. They'll also be leaving here about 10:30 to go to our 311 and 911, which will be an experience and an eye-opener. But I'll tell you, these young men are all working towards and trying to get to that coveted degree of Eagle Scout, and I hope each and every one of you make it. And what you're doing now and today, I promise you'll follow you the rest of the days of your lives, and you will be our leaders in the future, and you will be up there at the top. Mayor, I was wondering if they could come down, get around the circle, and let's take a picture. Would that be good for you guys? So you guys come on up, come down by the circle. We want to get your picture. Now, I kind of stole the thunder from Mr. Allen, because he's probably going to say something now. Part of you guys are in his district, I think. Aren't they, Jerry?
I wouldn't be surprised.
So we've got some great kids, and they're in, maybe another district, too. But, Jerry, would you like to come down with me and let's get a picture with them? But you guys, come on down to the front. Come on down now. We're going to get you around the circle here and take some pictures.
We have one special presentation. We'll hold that to later. So with that, Madam Secretary, if I could turn to you for this morning's speakers, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin your morning speakers with Judy Pollock, followed by Murphy Pete II. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred for further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Each individual will be allowed 3 minutes. You'll notice the light, green, amber, and red. When the light turns red, your time is up. Please allow the next individual to come forward. Again, your first speaker is Jody Pollock. Pollock.
Judy serves as the chair of our Cultural Affairs Commission. Judy, we appreciate your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to serve. Judy Pollock, 8600 Thackeray Street, Dallas, Texas, 75225. Thank you so much for the privilege of addressing you today and for your continued funding of the Office of Cultural Affairs. We are very grateful. As Chair of the Cultural Affairs Commission, I am here to present a proclamation that was unanimously passed by the Commission supporting the maintenance of an independent Office of Cultural Affairs. Many of my fellow commissioners and arts leaders are here today to support that position. There are many reasons why OCA needs to remain independent. First is that art sells Dallas. I have been repeatedly told over the years by business leaders that the arts are number one when attracting corporate relocations, tourism, and conventions. When decision makers are setting policy and determining the future of the city, the arts need to be a part of that planning process. With the current reality of decreasing budgets, the priorities of OCA would be lost in another department. We cannot go back to being a stepchild. Our work increases the economic vitality and vibrancy of the community. We need a seat at the table. History has shown that once OCA became an independent department many, many years ago, new organizations emerged, increased numbers of citizens have been served, private sector contributions have increased. It has participated in the realization of an internationally recognized arts district, and it has been a mentor to groups representing our underserved citizens. Now is not the time for this change. The national cultural spotlight is on Dallas. There is a belief that no one will notice if OCA is not independent. This is not true. The NEA, Americans for the Arts, Texans for the Arts, Texas Commission of the Arts, and the Texas Cultural Trust and others are all watching to see what we're doing here in Dallas these days. Major donors are also interested in the continued strong partnership between the City of Dallas and the cultural community. It was mentioned in the budget meeting briefing this week that Dallas is looking to the business models of other cities. All the top 10 cities in the United States have independent cultural affairs departments. We've been told that the savings resulting from the merger would be approximately $200,000 plus. We are more than willing to work to find that savings in the OCA budget. We are not requesting additional funding from any other department. The economy is cyclical. In time, revenues will increase, and it would be extremely difficult to extract OCA from another department. The cultural community is really asking for your support for this resolution. We are very grateful to you for all you do to help the citizens of Dallas and the work you do on our behalf. Thank you very much for your attention.
Judy, we appreciate your service, and I know all of your associates that are with you today and the support of the Arts System. Let's continue to work on it, and I especially appreciate that, as you said, it potentially is going to add dollars back into the proposal that was put in front, that you'll work to find additional sources to come out of that, because that's going to be one of the challenges we go forward. So I think the conversations can continue. We appreciate you being here, but especially your willingness to say there's a plus and a minus on this, and we'll work on the other side as well too. So we very much appreciate that, Judy, and all of you being with us. I can tell you right now, you have 15 people that are committed to the arts. We know it's an important thing. Mr. Allen, would you like to add, please?
Just want to echo very quickly what you had to say, Mayor. Judy, thank you for the countless hours, and thank each and every one of y'all for the countless hours y'all put into this. It's what's made art does sell Dallas. Art does sell Dallas, but what it also does, it gives a whole lot of people dreams when they go there.
Yes, it does, and we all need to imagine what our city would be like without the arts. It would be a very desolate place.
Well, you just keep banging that drum. We're going to be listening very, very, very clearly at our town hall meetings. So y'all just keep banging the drum, and we'll just see where this goes. I support you. I support the arts, and I also support the fact that we do keep it separate. So, again, thank you for your enthusiasm. Thank each and every one of y'all for coming down here to show us that enthusiasm.
Thank you, Councilman Allen. We appreciate your support, and thank you, Mr. Mayor,
you,
for your willingness to work
like
with
that,
us.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Jerry, I couldn't put it better, but I did want to put a fine point on the fact that as an economic engine, the arts are incredibly valuable to North Texas. And I think most folks don't realize that more than sports, more than anything else, the arts create an incredible economy for North Texas, and they bring so many dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. The Deloitte Touche studies over the years have shown us again and again and again that it brings money, it brings dollars, it brings tourism, it brings business. So the arts makes business sense. So thank you all for your commitment to this, and we need to keep pushing. I agree with everything you said, and I thank Mr. Allen for his leadership as well. Thank you. Thank you.
And I want everybody to understand, too, even as we stand today and, again, additional conversations, that there will be an Office of Cultural Affairs. It will be designated as the Office of Cultural Affairs. There may very well be other pieces into it, e.g. the library, but it will be designated Office of Cultural Affairs. So much as you pointed out, Judy, of other cities having and even state agencies, it will be designated the City of Dallas, an Office of Cultural Affairs that will be designated as such. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yes, Secretary?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I have my light on. Mr. Mayor, I have my light on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Hill, please. I apologize.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, you said at least half of what I intended to say to call to our arts community's attention that there will be an Office of Cultural Affairs. It's not as if that office is disappearing. I strongly support the arts, and I do agree with both Councilman Allen and Councilwoman Hunt that the arts is one of our strongest economic engines and developmental tools. However, I disagree that there will be any detrimental effect to combining the administrative functions of the Office of Cultural Affairs and Libraries. I do not believe that there will be any detrimental effect whatsoever in combining those administrative functions, which is what is happening. I think Ms. Soon has done an excellent job in determining what departments should be best combined. We do have to look at the economic situation and talk about downsizing our administrative structure. I support this combination, and I hope that you will try to see my perspective and some others who may support the position that I'm taking. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I have a question for Mary. The administrative side that you're talking about combining to the library, what would be that function? Kind of help me understand the administrative side.
Each department has a set of employees that work on the do the administrative part of the work, which is prepare payroll, which is prepare, in this case, it would be preparing contracts for the money that we purchase cultural services with, keeping the records. It's just the administrative support of running a business. And what the consolidations do in all cases, and no one would say this was the perfect world, but at this point when we're reducing services to citizens, we think it's important that we tighten up our management structure too. And so all of those consolidations look to share administrative support.
Okay. The executive director who's in the Office of Cultural Affairs, would she be that administrative person? Where would the executive director?
No, she would be in charge of the Office of Cultural Affairs, just like many of the other consolidations that we have done. Her title would probably be Cultural Affairs Officer for the City of Dallas. We're consolidating emergency preparedness, we're consolidating public information, we're consolidating intergovernmental. All those people will be public information officer.
Who will be the lead title? There has to be an executive director that someone will report to for cultural affairs.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to jump in because I've gotten the eye of the attorney. I'm afraid we're getting into discussing an item that's not on the agenda, so we're going too far out. What I might suggest, Ms. Davis, is either getting with Ms. Soom offline or communicating in writing.
Okay, ma'am, why are we getting too far out? I guess what I'm trying to understand.
Because this is not an item that's on the agenda, so we're literally getting into a discussion.
It's an item that an individual has come down to speak about.
Right, but that can't be the source then to get off in discussing an item that may very well be on agenda at a future point, and indeed will be.
But it is.
It's a legal call, and I can tell you, I'm getting the eyes from the attorneys on it.
Well, he needs to come and tell me that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Come and tell me that
Mr. Salazar, did you have something?
I'm not finished, Your Honor. I got another question.
Ms. Davis,
I have one more question I want to ask.
What is the question? But again,
this is not a strong mayor form of government.
What is your question, Ms. Davis?
The other question that I do have is that I do not support the two combined. I think that the two needs to be separate because that one question that I just asked and the mayor jumped in and said that we're getting way, way too embedded into asking certain questions, that is what I'm talking about. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and I certainly support the efforts to keep them. It's not a matter of being separate, but being independent and being able to seek the opportunities to enhance each of the departments in different areas that maybe one doesn't necessarily look into the other one. So certainly I will be working with the council to look to see how we can make that happen. I think this is a very good topic that certainly can go to the quality of life that sometimes does review these matters, and that way we can have the opportunity to have open discussion and to openly and have participation even from the community to give suggestions. So I would just invite everyone here today and also the ones who, everyone who's listening to our budget town hall meetings, which began 2 days ago. I will be having another one in West Dallas at J.C. Saragossa Center. And I know every council member will be having these budget town hall meetings. So we invite everyone to look at the newspaper, look on the internet, call your council member at Dallas City Hall, or and talk to your neighbors about getting involved and being a part of the solution on this budget. So thank you everyone for coming down and be vigilant because it is a proposed budget. It can be changed. And we look forward to working with you and all the members of the council to make it as best a budget as we can do under the circumstances. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Madam Secretary?
Your next speaker is Murphy Pike II, followed by Richard Sheridan.
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, staff, and our fellow citizens. My name is Murphy Pickett. I recently moved to 3814 Ross Avenue from 4003 Druid Hills, Dallas, Texas, in Mr. Noonan's district. My message today will include references to some very private matters that I've wrestled with keeping secret for almost 47 years. I've never spoken so openly about these matters except with my father shortly before his death. Many would consider me to be a worthless old reprobate, and those are the ones that are polite. Today I speak on behalf of my friend Jofta Fincher Tolka. I met Jofta 3 years ago at the Carfee Collins Medical Men's Lodge of the Salvation Army here in Dallas. Shortly before coming to Dallas, he had suffered a severe head injury while working at Camp Locanda near Glen Spray, New York. He had been homeless on the streets of New York City for over 11 years. Jofta was born in Alexandra Township in Johannesburg, South Africa during the era of apartheid. As a child, along with his younger brother Gabriel, they had been virtually homeless on the streets from the ages of 8 and 6. As a young man, he was invited to the Rema Church in Randburg by a member of the congregation. There he met Pastor Ray, the founder, and his brother Pastor Alan McCauley. He became a member and was offered employment working security and lodging on the campus. He was in the company of caring people and he responded with reverential respect for the people at his church. To him, the church was a place of refuge and safety. During his young life, Jofta had been fond of all things American. When Carlton Pearson, an evangelist from Tulsa, Oklahoma, held a revival nearby, he attended. Pearson announced that a celebration was scheduled later in the year in Tulsa and invited everyone to attend. It was probably just a perfunctory invitation, but Jofta attended. He was disappointed with his reception by Pearson. Disappointment soon turned to elation when Bishop T.D. Jakes delivered a message. He was overwhelmed, and when he returned to South Africa, he began planning another trek. His second visit to America confirmed his thoughts and expectations. He was enamored with America. He saw the one we think is true, beside we delude ourselves into believing is true, the dreams, the hopes, the America we aspire, and the illusion that inspires others to come here. I see that the yellow light is on. I just want to say that I wanted to address the city because I need some help in getting his status elevated to that of a legal resident. We need some other assistance also. We're in the process of writing a book.
Okay. Appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan, followed by Barbara Barbie.
Good morning. My name is Rich Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas, and I appreciate being here this morning. You see the title of the speech. It has to do with trying to save, stop, terminating 800 city employees. However, before I get into that topic, I received a very disturbing phone call from Roy Williams last night, and that phone call has to do with the Constitution of the United States of America, a copy of which I have here. The planned voting on and pushing forward modification to the speaker rules, which would eliminate morning speakers. And Ms. Pollock, if it goes forward, you would not be able to speak here anymore, nor would Jolene Hollins, nor would Al Lipscomb, nor would anyone who is a responsible citizen of our city who wants to bring matters of importance in front of the City Council. So Mayor and City Council, those who plan on doing this, you will be in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution which is being trampled on more and more in Washington, D.C., in Austin, Texas, and certainly here in Dallas, Texas. I'm sorry to say that. We can't stop the 800 city staff termination, job terminations. Let's let the city staff decide. Let's have democracy rule. We have 800 good, loyal employees right now with an axe over their head, not knowing what's going on, and it might be the first wave. It might create a negative morale in this city where people will be leaving like somebody sprayed a can of Raid. Excuse me. If all city employees bore the burden of the annual salary of 800 layoffs, there would be a 4% cut in salary. They decided to do that. That includes the police and fire. If it was just the 7,800 staff, it would be a 10% cut in salary. I'm seeing a 30% cut in income. FedEx, Office Depot, and other good corporations with good people, good employees are seeing 20 to 30% cut in salary. This is the time for our city to come together. This is a time for community. And I'm calling for the city staff to basically come together and say, yeah, we don't want anybody laid off. We're going to hang in there together, and we'll take a 10% cut. And you'd be surprised. That 10% is not really that much if you look closely at your budget and open your hearts to the people, the dedicated people at City Hall. The politics will virtually be taken out of the decision to terminate jobs by taking the decision out of the council's hands and putting the decision into the hands of those who will be most affected. I pray that our mayor and city council see the wisdom in this proposal. I pray that many Dallas residents respond to the recent Dallas Morning News editorial calling for all Dallasites to open their hearts and wallets and contribute to our quality of life revenue needs. God bless our mayor and city council in our most challenging time. With God, all things are possible, and together we will overcome all. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker.
As a reference point, I'd say the calculations are 18%, not 10%. That's what you'd
well, now we can do that calculation, Mayor.
Secretary, I did
a pretty good calculation. I'm a professional.
Your next speaker is Barbara Barbie, followed by Roger Andrus.
And this is not a fascist government. It's a constitutional government.
Excuse me.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Barbara Barbee. My address is 303 North Burnett, District 1. I'm the president of the Friends of Oakland Parks. I'm here today because we want to emphasize to all of you how important parks, recreation centers, and swimming pools are to the quality of life here in Dallas. Now that many are unemployed, the parks and recreation centers are doubly important. Families do not have the disposable income of a few years ago, and the free or low-cost services of the park department are essential to the well-being of our neighborhoods, especially the low- to moderate-income neighborhoods. Since 2003, the Friends of Oak Cliff Parks have been working thousands of volunteer hours, planting donated plants, and using grants to restore the parks in North Oak Cliff that were devastated by the severe budget cuts of 1987. The law of unintended consequences will surely come into play when recreation centers and swimming pools are closed and teenagers will be wandering around with no supervision and nothing to do. We want our crime stats to be lower, but with no organized outlet for their energy, a rising graffiti, vandalism, and even burglaries can be expected. We do know that services will have to be cut. We realize that this is a fiscal reality. But we're asking you to look at this from a different point of view. There are recreation centers and swimming pools that are not used as much in one neighborhood as in another. And we're asking you to base these cuts on the recreation centers and swimming pools where the usage is lower, because especially in our low-income and moderate-income neighborhoods, these public facilities are extremely important and serve a very, very useful purpose in the community life. We did send a letter to each of you outlining some of our proposals for finding money in other places. And after the city manager's budget came out on Monday, we discovered that you were planning to lower the sanitation cost by 64 cents. I believe you should keep that 64 cents and apply it to keeping some of the swimming pools and recreation centers open. We also noted that code enforcement has been told they will really suffer no cuts as far as their budget or their personnel is concerned. Unfortunately, many people feel that code enforcement is not working, and we suggest that knowing that there will be no pink slips will not improve the service. So we suggest that maybe you should drive through the neighborhoods and see that code is not working. Look at the tall weeds, the junk motor vehicles, the illegal storage, illegal land use, and illegal signs, and take your pick. I think you should reconsider this pledge to code enforcement that they wouldn't have any cuts. Parks are important. Swimming pools are important. Without the help of District 4, we wouldn't have been able to do what we've done in the parks in North Oak Cliff. Remember what these mean to the quality of life in the city.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hossel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Barbara, Ms. Barbie, I just want to thank you for coming down. I want to thank Anne Marie and Larry. Oak Cliff Parks has been a huge success in our area, in our district. They've planted wonderful, beautiful roses at Lake Cliff. They've done, as you said, countless hours. I will assure you that that we will give full consideration to the swimming pools. I know that Martin Weiss is on the list as being as one that's going to stay open. So, know that we are there to understand and try to do the best for, especially Friends of Oak Cliff Parks. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hossel. Mr. Ashton, please.
Thank you, Mayor. On Monday, we had our first town hall meeting at Tom Allen Recreation Center, and the first thing came up was the swimming pool in the Recreation Center. And colleagues, you will be amazed that how important our swimming pools and our park play in the city of Dallas, and just the quality of life. I had another town hall meeting at Cleaver Riley. Cleaver Riley is a small dot on the city of Dallas map, far, far east of Dallas. And they feel like they are not part of the city of Dallas. But they feel like that their recreation center have a great quality of life for their children and their seniors. And they feel like the hours of their park will close and the time it will crime will skyrocket in that neighborhood, and the city would not have anything to do. City manager, mayor, I know we have a difficult task trying to balance this budget, but my colleagues and my citizens in District 8 is that we got to open our eyes for our children and our seniors, and so my crime is going down. Crime will go up if these children do not have anything to go to the park, especially on the Saturday. Most of our park is used by athletics, football, basketball, baseball on a weekend. Where would these kids go on the weekends if our park is closed? So, city manager, mayor, we need to roll up our sleeves and find out what we need to do to save the city. And we said we're the first class city. What is about our youth and our seniors? And those are the two areas people will be hurt if we decide to close the park, the swimming pool, and the recreation zone on the schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kelly, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Is Paul Dyer in? Paul Dyer, please. Paul Dyer. Where is Paul Dyer?
Dave Rivers here.
Oh, and while Mr. Dyer is coming, let me say this about Park and Rec. As former vice president of the Park Board and someone that truly loves activities in the park department, the great things that we're doing. There have been many fights in the past, many challenges that we've had as relate to trying to keep our pools open. I can go back and recall the time that Liz Minyas had to step up to the plate with $60,000 to keep our pools open. We have some trying times now. And the fact is that we have pools that if we decide to keep them open and continue to let them erode those that are in need of repair, eventually that pool will be in such condition that it will end up costing probably more money at some point down the line. As we look at children and we talk about the needs and the future, we also got to look at the fact of the future of what's in front of them. And we have a responsibility to address those concerns now. While we are currently in the middle of this economic tragedy, if indeed we have a plan or a plan is in motion for us to renovate and repair, while we've all accepted this economic downturn, now may be the right time to make those proper renovations. Granted, with any type of renovations or repairs or construction, there's going to be interruption. I would hope that we would look at this as interruption and not just necessarily closure. Now, the plan that's been explained to the council has been that we're going to close pools, granted, but the pools that we are closing will cost the pools that we, and I just want to get some help here. Could just come to the microphone with her, if you don't mind. The pools that we are closing, we have a plan to renovate them so that when and if we get to an economic upspin, then we will have the options to have those pools back open and then begin to repair some of the older pools that are in need of repair. How far off am I, Paul? What is the plan?
I think you're very close. Actually, we're going to renovate the pools. First thing the council wants to do is come back to you this fall with an aquatics master plan to look at the entire pool system to see where we go. Do we spend a lot of money refurbishing these old pools? Do we build new pools? Do we come back and build large quarter, maybe 4 to 10 pools around the city that are pools with slides and other major features? We just need to evaluate the pool, the aquatic system, citywide. That's what we'll do right away. The second thing is, if you decide to go forward with the pools that we have, we will then refurbish those next summer, and then we'll open those up the next year, and the ones that are that are open this next year will be closed the following year. So we're trying to sequence them so we can keep pools open for the season.
Now, what is the plan for neighborhoods, such as one that may be in West Dallas, that's in an isolated area, that may be closed? What plan does the park department have in transporting, if any, the kids to other closer area type of pools?
We have some funds in our syndicated camp program. The funds that we have for our rec center, we're gonna try to get some transportation, but that'll be far less than we had last year because we've cut down to so many hours.
Too far. Okay. We'll pick this up in that budget hearing. Again, we've gone so far off of the item, I'm afraid I'm going to have to jump in as the attorneys are on my back again.
Okay.
So with that, thank you very much. Mr. Newman, please.
I want a question for you or Mary, but Ms. Barbee, thank you for coming down. Your passion for Oak Cliff and for all things green are very self-evident, so thank you, Barbara. Mary, are we scheduled as a council to have a budget review specifically on Park and Rec?
We're not through scheduling them all. We certainly can do that if you want to.
Okay. I, for one, could be, I'm willing to consider the changes that are proposed with Park and Rec dollars as it impacts our youth compared to dollars that we're spending on code and police patrol, because I could be convinced that with the lack of a place for our youth to be and spend time in an organized place, we are, in essence, creating crime, creating other issues elsewhere. So I'm for one, am interested in looking at that and doing a comparison. I don't have the numbers. I'm not saying it's dollar for dollar, but certainly it's something that we as a council, it's a cause and effect, ladies and gentlemen. It's if we make a decision to change things out of the after-school programs and change things out of other things that we dedicate to our young people, are we creating an effect elsewhere? So I'm interested in whether it's from Paul and your staff or from the manager for us to evaluate that. I'm not knee-jerking saying that we should do it. I'm saying it's something that in the next 45, 60 days we should evaluate and judge as a council.
And again, on those briefings, to the extent you want to include another briefing, there's plenty of opportunity. Just drop a note to the city manager on that request.
She just got my note.
Perfect. Okay. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to have Paul to give me a list of all of my pools in District 7. Of course, this is about saving money. And when you close pools, you save money. And I just hope that the city manager is honest with us about this situation. It's all about saving money. So I would like a list of all my pools in District 7 and even those pools that are going to be closed. And at our budget meeting, will somebody be there from the Parks Department, Paul? Okay, and before my budget meeting on tomorrow, I would like to have a list of all of my pools, even the pools that you have mentioned that are closed. Because if we're going to, quote, refurbish these pools, I want to have a date and a timeline, and then get back with me on what you anticipate. If the pool cannot be refurbished, then what is the next best thing to do? Are we talking about water park? A spray park. Thank you.
Ms. Fowler, please.
Real quick, Ms. Barbie, thank you for coming down. And I've heard the excitement that you have for your area and your district. It's folks like you that do make differences and do make a change. As we do the pools and we look at them, look at it too. It might be to some degree one step back, but it's going to be four steps forward as we do these. Reason I say that, there's so many excellent opportunities that are out there, and that's what the Parks Department is going to be looking at, is all the new opportunities. Pools have been great in the past, and they'll stay great in the future, but there's also these water parks and just some really neat things that we can maybe draw more people to. In my district, I have a water spray park and a pool, and the spray park by far carries more people than the pool, but it's an opportunity for us, and it's your enthusiasm, your vision, but keep that imagination going and just go out there and Google search all the things that are going on with water activities, and then keep us on our toes. But most important, thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Mr. Stoltzberg, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and again, I fully support finding ways that we can keep our pools open. I have a rec center that strictly does predominantly children with special needs, disabilities, and their budget's being cut in half. And I think that, and that's a regional center because I don't think any other district has that type of rec center either. So it's important that people get involved and engaged in these town hall meetings that are happening now through the beginning of September over up to September the 10th. When you become involved and engaged, you have a conversation with your council members and work with them to find solutions on funding some of these. Now, I will tell you, if you remember the cuts that happened in the 80s and the early 90s, many were never restored. Even barely just today, we cut the park police. And only now are we going to have sufficient officers that we may be able to have some patrol some of the parks on a more regular schedule. So my fear is that when we don't look for ways to fund these programs and we just sit back and say that it's a crisis, we can't do anything about it, we're just going to have to live with it. If we don't do something about it, we are going to have to live with it for the next 20 years. So I invite you to get engaged with every council member to find solutions for the funding, look at alternatives and the priorities, and I look forward to seeing you at the meeting. I have one tonight at the J.C. Saragossa Rec Center off of Singleton Boulevard in Clymer, so I invite you to be there or any other town hall meeting. There's 42. I think we probably still have maybe 39 left. So let's get to those meetings and get to work.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker is Roger Andrus. Roger Andrus. Not present. Anne Marie Bristow.
Hello, I'm Anne Marie Bristow. I live at 802 Haynes, District 1. And I'm a board member of the Friends of the Oakland Parks. I will speak on a specific item of the maintenance cost of the parks. Last year's budget was $17 million. They cut $3 million out of that one. They gave, it was $4.5 million, and they gave $1.5 million back. That's just the maintenance. The budget is so fragile right now. On any given day, for example, at Keys Park, they are, on any given weekend, I'm sorry, on summer, there are over 10,000 people using the trails. They run, they play soccer. It's pure joy. And the maintenance, the supply cut, just the bags, the trash bags, the cleanup, the mowing, barely keeps up with it. And it has $3 million, is 17% out of $17 million, which is such a small thing of the whole budget. It's very, very severe. And I'm asking you to look at it and see if you can find the money somewhere. I went on the website and trying to understand the budget, which is kind of difficult. It didn't give me the fixed cost that the outsourcing and the outside contracts that the city uses, what percentage of the cost it is. Surely they're coming up for renewal. And I ask the new council to be very careful and look at it and maybe find the money there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you being with us. That concludes our morning speakers. I'm afraid it does. That concludes our morning speakers. Let me go through the agenda very quickly. Madam, you've got two choices. The rules specify we have five speakers. We've done the five speakers. Now, excuse me, your choices are very simple. You can continue to yell, and I'll ask you to leave, or we'll proceed with business. It's your choice. Please. Let's go back on the agenda. First of all, we'll go to our minutes, and then we'll proceed to the agenda. There's a number of items that were on the consent agenda. There's a number of items that were on the consent agenda that have been requested to be considered individually. I'll go through those items with you. The first item is item number 9. Mr. Newman has requested that be considered individually. Item number 29 and 30, Mr. Newman and Mr. Atkins requested those be considered individually. Those will be considered collectively. Item number 48, Ms. Margolin requested that that be considered individually. Item number 54, Ms. Margolin. Item 56, Mr. Atkins. Item 63, Mr. Atkins. Item 65, Mr. Atkins. Then on the consent and regular agenda, two other items. Mr. Allen on item number 32 will make a deferral motion, and Ms. Margolin has requested that there be a deferral motion on number 59. On both of those, I'll take a motion as soon as we get through the consent agenda for a deferral to September 9th. Then over on the addendum, item number 2 has been deferred, and then item number 9 will be considered individually. There'll be speakers. That item number 9 has to do with the zoo. On that one, we'll consider that one first as soon as we get through all the consent and the deferrals, because I know there's a number of people in the audience on that one. So with that, if I could have... Please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'm the one who asked that item to be deferred additionally. I'm asking that there be a briefing to the council on that item before there is any full council vote.
Fair enough. So the items, thank you. The items will be considered individually. The items number 9, items number 29 and 30, items number 32, 48, 54, 56, 59, 63, 65, and then over on the consent agenda, on the addendum, excuse me, item number 9. So if I could have a motion for approval of the consent items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Okay. Now, if I could get a motion for deferral of items number 32 and 59 to September 9th. Ms. Margolin, please. Yeah, so motion to September 9th, no later than September 9th. That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. The minutes of June 19th, the special called meeting of June 22nd, the special called meeting of June 22nd of the inaugural meeting, and then the June 24th meeting, as amended. I'd like a motion for acceptance of those, please. That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. So with that, let's, Madam Secretary, go to addendum item number 9. And I know we have a speaker on that. If you'd read that into the record, please.
Thank you, and I do apologize, Mr. Mayor. Would you please clarify who made the motion to defer 32 and 59, and then also...
Mr. Allen made it. Ms. Margolin seconded. Or is it reversed? Reversed. Ms. Margolin made it. Mr. Allen seconded.
In the minutes?
Mr. Fairway.
Thank you. Addendum item number 9 is to authorize a 25-year agreement with the Dallas Zoological Society and Dallas Zoo Management, Inc. to manage the Dallas Zoo for the management, maintenance, and operation of the Dallas Zoo.
And we have one speaker.
We do have one speaker, Gay Hopkins. Gay Hopkins. Ms. Hopkins, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Gay Hopkins, 6030 Monticello, Dallas 75206. I live in District 14. I do support this ordinance, but I ask you if you to delay the vote for at least 2 weeks. I came down for the briefing on Wednesday of this past week. I got my questions answered that I had. And I promised that if I did and that I approved this ordinance, I would come and speak in favor, and I am here. Nevertheless, I do ask you to delay it. I feel that this particular contract has not had enough publicity, if you choose to use that term. I feel that there are citizens such as I am who may have questions about it, and that they need more opportunity to contact you as their council member to get those questions cleared up. So I ask you to delay for 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fairway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me say, the zoo being a jewel of the city of Dallas in the district of 4 and the district of 1, Ms. Margolin, and we share that, with as much that is going on now, and when you have an opportunity to move forward, you have to take advantage of it. Granted, years ago, on the park board, this would be something that we would have frowned upon, and we did at one point when Lois Finkelman was president, and I was vice president. The thought of us giving up any part of control of our zoo, was just unspeakable. But then when you look at other cities, and you look at what the city of Fort Worth, just to name one, and what they're doing and what they've done, the move that they've made, the recognition that their zoo has, the energy that the people have put forth in making sure that Fort Worth Zoo was prime and prominent. When you look at San Diego and you look at the things that they've done and the move that they've made, and then when you look at the fact that we have the same opportunity, but we really have the best zoo, but it really needs to have some true lovers of what today's expectations are, and folks that can somewhat oversee and love it, even and just as more as we love it. But then there's a new set of energies that are out there that can bring about the type of vision that would make our zoo, the zoo, second to none of those, but first to the San Diego Zoo, first to the Fort Worth Zoo. And that's what we're striving for, and that is what I do believe that this opportunity now is before us. To see us to say, well, let's hand it off. Well, it's not being just handed off. We have other great examples, one being the State Fair of Texas. The State Fair of Texas, we all go to the fair park. We can't wait to get to the corny dogs in September and October. But you have a group that have the focus and daily commitment to make it to the point that we have that excitement. And I think that this is going to be the same type of excitement that we look forward in having with the Zoological Society. So with that, Mayor, I'd like to take this opportunity to somewhat co-hand it over to Ms. Hosso. I'd like to make an official motion that we move forward with this project and we wrap our arms around it and we make Dallas that zoo, an aquarium that we've been long waiting for to compete as we continue to move forward.
That's a motion for acceptance of agenda item number 9. Is there a second? It's been seconded. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members, at our briefing, I voiced a concern about city council oversight, and I'm waiting to hear back. I was hoping that I would get some additional information from either Paul or from our city attorney. I'm very supportive of this effort. I think I have every bit of confidence in DZM and in the leadership team and the long-term vision that you have and our care for it, but I remain concerned about the city council oversight, whether it be naming rights or whether it be for making sure that we had talked as a council about the park board's role, the city council's role, and so I will only be able to support this today if we insert in the language of the ordinance specific city council oversight. Otherwise, Mayor, I will not be able to support this today, or I'll ask to defer it, because I do think there needs to be additional level oversight, and I do remember several council members agreeing that concept. But anyway, so I welcome to hear from either Paul or from Tom Perkins, the city attorney's office, to say what's the city council's role in oversight in this. And then I will make an amendment as appropriate at the end of the discussion. Thank you.
The typical oversight that we have with our partnerships, the Arboretum and others, is that we review their master plans, we manage the construction for them. That currently doesn't come to council for those agencies. If you would like, certainly we can have that. That's the will of the council to do this for this contract. Beyond that, the fees and charges are reviewed by the board. There's some 70 fees and charges we go through every couple of years. Review those for everything in the park system. That fee and charge can be set out and go to the council if you'd like to do that. The last thing is we talked about the oversight of open records requests, and one of the things that we think would be good in this process is the society wants to be transparent in the open records request process. However, they want some ability to have a filter or a governance in that relationship so that if there is too many, or if it's onerous in the contract, the request is onerous, because there are hundreds of thousands of records that could really bring this system to a standstill and paralyze it. So with that, the agreement would be that appeal authority would be committed to the Quality of Life Committee or something like that. So those things we're already planning on building in. It's really the will of the council how much you want to build in as far as the time you want to spend on it.
And I thank you, Mr. Geyer, but in the briefing material that we have in front of us, nowhere does it say anywhere that the city council has explicit oversight. I'm saying in what we have in front of us, and I nor council wants to look at the contract per se, but it says that the major terms of the agreement shall include the following, and then it lists 30 items, and as I go through the 30 items, nowhere does it reference the city council's role or oversight. So that gives me great pause.
And I'm asking you for your direction in that regard, because it's not in the contract. I'd like to know what you would like in the way of oversight in this contract.
Art Hedman, City Attorney's Office. If I might, Councilman, I'd call your attention to a couple of issues.
where the city has control and oversight of this relationship. First, we're going to establish in the contract what the performance standards are of the management entities, what they're supposed to do, what levels of performance they're supposed to have, manage the zoo, quality, those sort of things. That's going to be a contract provision, failing to honor which the city always has the right to exercise its rights under the contract. Further, number 26 on your list of major terms here has to deal with financial requirements. We're going to have the right to receive periodic financial reports, budgets, projections, etc. from the management entity. That will be coming to the city. Now, whether it's the park board or the city council directly, that's for y'all to decide as far as your rules, regulations, and procedures. We also have the right to audit. The city is going to have the right at any time that they don't feel comfortable with what's going on, conduct formal audits. Then item number 14, we talked specifically about fees and parking costs. That was specifically delineated because of charter provisions that says that the park board and the city council, acting through the park board, is supposed to oversee those sort of matters. Item number 15 on your list of key terms deals with naming and sponsorship relationships. What that says is that, yes, per the contract, when we take that one little sentence and turn it into a paragraph, as lawyers do in their contracts, that the management entities are going to be controlling the naming right and sponsorship relationships subject to existing naming rights and sponsorships that are already in place with reasonable standards that the park board would establish as far as appropriateness, etc.
We had a conversation as a council as it relates to Cotton Bowl and this similar thing, and the council asserted itself in saying it wanted city council oversight on specifically naming rights. So.
Right, and I think the compromise on that was that the council decided rather than they would like to have veto powers over any name that was suggested, because as these negotiations go forward for naming rights, it is sometimes very confidential with the donor, and so the ultimate decision by the council was you would have veto rights over any name that was brought forward.
Well, I will, Mayor, I'll conclude in my portion of this round just to say I still think the council needs a higher level of oversight. As Mr. Natinsky said in the briefing, he said that citizens look to the council and their councilmen, not necessarily an appointee or a park board member or professional staff for the accountability of the city facilities. And very clearly, this is still a city facility. It's just being proposed to be managed by a separate entity. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Newman, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think part of the frustration you may be feeling is similar to the frustration I've had with this, is that the council was briefed on this last Wednesday, a week ago, and now we're being asked to approve it. And we are taking a giant step here in moving an asset that had been a public asset and moving the management of that into the private sector with a nonprofit. So I think the timing of this, for me at least, has been inadequate to address a project of this magnitude, a change of this magnitude. So I agree with your comments there, and especially the oversight issue. That being said, I think this is going to be very beneficial for our zoo in the long term. As I read through the term sheet, and Michael, I mentioned this to you, as I read through the term sheet, I would think, you know, the attorney in me coming out thinking, well, we need to think about this, we need to be concerned about this, I'd flip the page and that issue would be addressed in a very positive way for the city, for the animals at the zoo, for the public, and for taxpayers who will continue to support the zoo and fund the zoo. So I think many of those issues have been addressed. My hesitation and my concern has been how quickly this has gone through without the intense scrutiny that we typically give items of this magnitude. So that's been my concern. With that being said, I had the opportunity to talk with you, to talk with Paul Dyer, and to talk with Greg about really three specific concerns that I had. One, which is open records requests. We want to make sure that in situations where the public, which again, taxpayers will be funding the zoo, you guys will be raising funds for the zoo, but it's a public-private partnership. Taxpayers would have the opportunity, like they do now, to request records, specifically records related to animal health and welfare. And that's an important oversight function, and I think that's a right the public has when it is funding an organization. So we made sure that we've got something in the contract so that we can address that. And then we also made sure that we have some of the financial oversight issues addressed so that there's auditing by the city, annual performance review, et cetera. And then a whistleblower provision, which is also important, making sure that if there is an employee at the zoo that sees some type of malfeasance, that sees animal cruelty, we want to make sure that that person has comfort knowing they won't lose their job if they come forward. So, Michael, let me just get you to come up here for 2 seconds to make sure I've properly reflected what we've discussed the last few days, and that you know, with the caveat that Paul gave with regards to open records, if we have something that's considered unduly onerous, that could come perhaps before the Quality of Life Committee to be discussed before that moves forward. Does that adequately reflect what we've talked about?
I think so, Councilmember. A couple of things. The timing on this was to be responsive to the city's current budget situation, and we were asked to try and make this happen by October the 1st when we first raised the discussion. So I want to be clear on that. I mean, this has taken a tremendous toll on us to try and make this happen very quickly and so that it happens in an orderly fashion.
And Michael, I want to be clear, too. I'm not putting that off on you guys.
Sure.
Because I think you've been responsive to the city. I think this is more an internal city issue as to how quickly this has moved forward. Because I really want to be clear about this. You guys have done a great job in working with the zoo, and I think you'll continue to do a great job on this. So I don't want you to take that as a criticism at all.
Thank you. I don't take it as a criticism. Given the speed with which this has moved, perhaps the attention hasn't been really focused on all of the reporting. I know that you all have a lot of things on your agenda, but I've got over a full page's worth of areas where you all have got oversight. As far as whether that happens at the City Council or the Park Board, I must tell you, I think that's an internal issue for you all, and we're very supportive. But the one thing I do want to tell you on the animal piece of it is this, is that one thing is not changing at all, and that is that USDA has regulatory oversight of the zoo's animal collection and can come in on any moment, do a complete review, spend 2 days going through everything. If there is ever a complaint or concern expressed to the USDA, they immediately come in and do it, and all of their findings are posted on the web for anyone in the world to look at. So there is tremendous transparency on that. We also go through the AZA accreditation process, which we will go through again starting in around 2011 and through 2012. That again turns into a multi-week review process, and all of those records we would certainly make available here to the council, and it's typically been available in general. So I really think that we are providing a great deal of oversight and transparency, and that you all are going to be welcome to have whatever it is that you have, just as you are right now.
And I appreciate that, and I think it is important to reflect on the transparency that is already required of zoos across the country, AZA zoos, and in general any zoo in relationship to the USDA. But that does not obviate the need for this discussion about open records. And so I just want to make sure, in talking with Paul, I understood that it was going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, what was outlined a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Just want to make sure.
And what I would like to say on the whistleblower piece,
yeah,
that's standard as a part of our governance practices. DCS already has that.
So we can just transfer whatever requirements.
Assuming that
there
works well for the organization, right?
Into the contract. Okay. Yeah. Let's just make sure we've got that, because that's a very important
piece. Very important.
Very important piece. I'm going to be listening to the discussion. I appreciate your being responsive to these concerns, and I look forward to hearing my colleagues' thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would agree that the process by which it came about was very quickly. But I think, that aside, I think the issue about the care control and the operations is very consistent to city policy and what we've done in many other situations, whether it be the arts, whether it be sports arenas, whether it be convention center. Sometimes the issue is the operation. Can the city do the best job? I tend to believe that the city was doing a good job. I think we've had a good positive movements as far as improvements of the zoo in recent years. And then that also has to be credited to the organization that is now being asked to run the zoo. That being said, I think the employees have done a really good job. And it's not a matter of that, can the city continue to operate the zoo? The answer is yes. Can the city continue to meet the standards? Maybe with difficulty, but I think yes. I think what this agreement that we're doing is about, is this the best we can do with the zoo, or can we take it to another tier? Because I certainly think that the citizens of Dallas deserve the best. We are Big D. We should have the best zoo, not only in the country, but in the world. And this organization, which has been with the zoo for many, many years, and I've known many of their members, have a commitment to that, even when they weren't in control. So I'm in favor of this agreement because it's not to some organization that we do not know that we're asking to take up the zoo and now take it to the next level, but it's to individuals who have contributed to the city of Dallas for many, many years, not just in the zoo, but in many other different ways to help us achieve many of the goals that we have. And so I'm very confident that they're going to do an excellent job. I'm glad to hear that some of the changes that have been done as far as transparency can help us to see how the operations are and to make sure that the citizens feel that the zoo is in very good hands and they can have a review of what's going on. So with that, Mayor, I'll be supportive of this motion, and I look forward to a year from now when they report back on the different plans that they're going to have. Now, any major plan that they have has to come before the City Council. And I think certainly, we as stewards of the actual property of the zoo should look forward to seeing the many different plans that that they'll have in store once they're able to have a year under the belt and the operations in hand, and also to gauge the level of support as to what are the next steps that we're going to take with this zoo to make it the world's best. Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate it. Ms. Salazar, Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you all for coming today, those of you who have worked so hard on this. I am strongly in support of this. I think that this is such a win-win for the city. This started because of the unfortunate circumstance of our budget, but it's led to a really creative solution. I've heard some comments out in the community that we're giving the zoo away to a private entity, and I hope they'll be good to it. And I really don't see it that way at all. The management of the zoo is going to continue. It's really just a legal change that's taking place. Greg Hudson will still manage the zoo. He'll bring his staff over there. And so it's really a change in legal form more than it is a change in the way the zoo is going to be run. The financial reality of it is that it is great for the city and it's great for the zoo. Over the next 5 years, we'll save for the city about $15 million, and it will free the zoo up to do fundraising in a much more productive way. And so I really see absolutely no downside to this. I think it's a fabulous solution to something that's been discussed for years. As far as Mr. Newman's concerns, I am in agreement with him that I would like to see final consent on various important changes, and I guess not important changes, lesser changes of fee structure and all kinds of plans, capital plans for the zoo to be brought to the city council, because we are the ones who are going to be responsible. And while it went to the park board before and that worked, the reason that I see this as necessary now is because the zoo is going to be kind of one step removed from the council, one step removed from the park board. And so ultimately, I would like to see it circle back to us when these kinds of things come forward. So I will be supporting this, and if Mr. Newman would like to make some amendments, I would support those amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm certainly going to be supporting this change. You know, there's a little bit of history that I think people get wrapped up in when they read things in the paper, or see it on TV, or hear it via the grapevine, that maybe don't come to the forefront. We have a long, good relationship with the DMZ. They have been our partners before. We are not giving the zoo away. The zoo remains property of the City of Dallas. What we're doing is we're giving a management contract to the society to manage the zoo, much as we've done with the State Fair and other city entities. These are people that are dedicated and passionate about us having a great zoo. It's not some cold-hearted, unknown entity, you know, that we imported from another city to come in here and try to run our zoo in a better way. Our track record, really, in recent history has been sort of interesting. When we went out to find the new zoo director, we found one, Mr. Hudson, that was beyond what we could afford. And the Zoological Society stepped up and said, you know what, we want a great zoo director, and we'll help you get him. Okay, he's here, and he's done a great job. And he's part of this future of the Dallas Zoo. I think all of us want the Dallas Zoo to be out there at the forefront and top tier of zoos, not only in this country, but in the world. We've got a great opportunity to have a partnership here. If it doesn't work out, and I truly believe it will work out, but we have safeguarded it in the contract, the city can step up at any point and say, we don't like what's going on, we're not happy with what's going on, we're going to take the management back, or we're going to move it somewhere else. I don't think there's a chance, and you know what, of that happening, because I think you've got a group of people that are going to do the right thing in the right way to make this a success. This is going to be, for the most part, totally transparent to the citizens of the City of Dallas. There's not going to be a big sign out front that says, you're coming to the Dallas Zoo, owned by the City of Dallas, but operated by the Dallas Zoological Society. I mean, that is not going to happen. They're going to go out, and it's going to be the Dallas Zoo, and it's going to work. You know, as far as some of the issues that have been brought up with regard to, you know, open records and transparency and so forth, I had a meeting the other day, and we went through some of those issues. I think there's a process in place for any of those issues to be taken care of. I think we're safeguarded in the contract that we've negotiated. This may have come up a little quick, but you know, sometimes you have to be at the right place at the right time to get things done. Had this come up a couple years ago, we might not be doing it. It may come up in a couple years and we might not have done it. I think the stars are aligned. I think we're making a prudent, good decision to make this change, and I think it's going to be good for the City of Dallas. So I'll certainly be supporting this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And yes, I am co-making the motion with you to accept this ordinance and this agreement. Dallas Zoological Society, I served on the park board for 7 years and also was a vice president. And I personally saw how much money they could raise for the zoo to fill the gaps when the city could not get money, enough money to do things in the amount of $26 million. And that is not a small number. So I am supporting this. Having worked with the Dallas Zoological Society through the park board, I certainly am confident that they will include city council with or without the park board when there are changes or whatever needs to be done. I have complete confidence that they understand that. So I will be supporting this, and again, I thank the Zoological Society, Michael. Y'all have done a yeoman's job, and everybody you bring to the table to help us with the Dallas Zoo. So I thank you again for that.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Paul Dyer, please. What would be the date
this contract would go into effect, when it would take over the zoo?
October 1.
October 1?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What exactly the managed company is taking over?
Equipment, the entire zoo, the assets, the animal collection, the property, the grounds, everything about the zoo will be transferred to DZS for their operation of the zoo.
And the employees?
The employees will be ripped from the city of Dallas and will be, they'll be in a process to be hired back through the DZS, the new company, DZM, DZS.
Okay, so the employees will be officially released on September the 30th?
Yes, sir.
That will be a termination notice? Okay, so what would the day they can apply back for employment?
That's a good question. There's a transition team. Greg Hudson will be resigning very shortly, and he will put together a transition team. Those individuals will go over to the DZM, become employees, and that transition team will then start interviewing during the month of September to assemble all the employees so that on the 1st of October, when the zoo opens that morning, those employees will have new contracts, and they'll go right back to work to keep everything.
So what is that time frame from September 30th to what day they will hire the first employee?
Well, they'll all be hired prior to the end of September.
Okay.
So that when September's over, October begins, they go off the city payroll on September 30th. They go on the, they'll be employed, and they'll go on the payroll on October 1.
Okay. Last question. The 2006 bond package that we went out to the voters, there was any money earmarked for the zoo?
Absolutely.
How much?
$27 million is under construction right now for the new Savannah exhibit. That is what will be complete next spring, and we'll continue to, the contract says we will continue to support them through future bond programs and referendums if the council so chooses and the voters so choose.
So we have $27 million from the 2006 bond?
For the Savannah exhibit, yes.
For Savannah. How much money have we spent from the 2006 bond?
It's all under contract.
Right? All, so the whole $27 million is under contract.
Right. We have a few funds left over, maybe.
But how much is
half
that?
A million, maybe, out of the 20.
We got a half a million. So what would a half a million go toward? Would it go
well, that's being held in reserve for the change orders and the completion of the job. We always keep a contingency for the job, so there's some money that hasn't been appropriated or encumbered yet, but that money is available to us as we finish this project over the next 6 or 8 months.
Okay. And when you negotiated the management contract, was the bond money that was earmarked by the voters was part of the saving of the taxpayer of the $5 million? Was that in a part of the equation?
No, that was strictly capital funds and had nothing to do with that. Now, to the end of the DZS helped that project by matching some of those funds.
Right.
That was in play.
How much was that?
They matched $5 million, and at some point they were going to match $5 million capital, but they're using some of that for transition money because of the urgency of this project to move forward. So they've actually moved some of those funds over to help in the transition.
We repeat that, you wouldn't look fast.
DZS committed to $5 million in this program. They were going to fund the entire element. But what they're going to do now is they're going to use their funds, their match funds, to fund the transition of the new zoo, the new equipment, the new systems, the financial systems, all the IT systems that need to be in place. They will be putting that in place at their expense.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of questions for Paul. The first one, since I heard you mention that DZM is it a new nonprofit?
Yes, ma'am. It's the DZM and DZS are affiliate nonprofits, and we are contracting with that entity, the DZM-DZS entity. The DZS is the fundraising arm, and the DZM is the management property company.
Now, since, you know, people are listening, and you know, and we know it's a nonprofit, since it's a new nonprofit, are they registered with the Secretary of State yet? Because it went to I didn't see it on the website, on the Secretary of State website.
Ms. Davis Donaglin, Denny, Chairman of the Society. We actually have the name available, and the consent from Dallas City Citizens, which is a similar name. DZM is not yet formed. The documents are prepared. We're simply waiting to make certain that the structure is satisfactory to the council, and then those documents will be filed.
Okay, so as of today, it is not filed yet,
that is
but
correct.
It's going to be filed.
Right.
So right now,
Okay. So once, if we approve this, then you will send the item to the Secretary of State.
Correct.
How long? Now, normally it takes a moment. Are you guys asking for a rush for your nonprofit status?
Of course, the incorporation is a very expeditious process, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very few days. We'll be filing for the 501c3 determination with the IRS immediately. Our tax advisors tell us they have both a very high level of confidence that will be given and probably expedited because of there's a DZS and DZM will be considered support organizations of one another, and because DZS long has had its 501c3 determination, we anticipate a very speedy resolution and
okay, so at the most it might take, because, you know, being, I'm coming from the nonprofit world,
sure.
And trying to attain, you know, a 501c3, it could take, because they might have some questions.
Sure.
So, as of today, you're not a nonprofit, but you're maintaining that goal to become one.
That is correct,
okay.
And the actually the responsibility of meeting the 501c3 status is the organization itself. We are virtually certain of receiving that determination.
I do understand, but by law, you're not a nonprofit.
But that's correct.
Hopefully, once we approve this, you send the paperwork in, you don't see any problem. But as of today, you're not a nonprofit organization.
That is correct.
Okay. Do you have a business plan?
There is a budget that has been in the process of being worked out for all of this that Craig and... Yes.
Okay. I support, you know, I'm not sure, but I do support. But I just want to make sure, normally when you send the 501c3 in, it asks for a business plan.
Sure.
And if we have a business plan, then I'm just hoping that the council and my colleagues can see the business plan.
Surely.
So as a, we don't have the business plan yet until we do the 501c3. Okay. I have a, this is to you, Paul. What happens if the city were to ask for the zoo back? Will we have any responsibility on them, anything, to get the naming rights back?
Actually, there is a termination for convenience from the contract by either party, and at any time the council chooses to terminate this contract, they may do so. And at that point, all the assets that have been accrued to the zoo will come back to the city.
Okay. And on it, since we're given, and I'm looking on this page here, I'm looking at the contract in Section 4, since the city controller's office is authorizing disbursement funds to the new organization, and they have the amount, will the city controller or the auditor be responsible for auditing that money which we're giving?
Well, anyway, the council appropriates the amount, the stipend that goes to the DCS DZM for their management contract. That will be paid out quarterly, and that will be approved by the controller after this council approves that.
I understand. I'm just asking a simple question. Will the auditor be able to, will he have the right to audit the money in which we're giving them? And you have it based, you have it broken out like 9:30. 10, 11, 12, 13, 34 for years.
Yes, ma'am. They're subject to audits by the city.
Is it written here in the contract?
Yes.
Is it,
we have the right to audit and also receive a financial report from them.
Okay. And will we receive the report once the audit is finished from the controller's office?
The audit will be something that the council will be provided to the council, and it will be your choice. If it's once a year, once every 5 years, these agencies are audited by the city auditor at your discretion.
Okay. And two more, and I'll be finished, Mr. Mayor. The zoo will still serve the city of Dallas?
Absolutely.
Okay. Last thing, on the...
The Dallas Zoo. It'll be the Dallas Zoo.
The Dallas Zoo.
Yes, ma'am.
And on the open records, how would an individual be able to attain, if they wanted to do an open record on the new organization? Would they have to go through the city secretary's office, or how would that happen?
No, ma'am. You'll simply go through the DZM and request an open records request on, it's for the animals, and if there's a request for animals, that will be in the contract that will be provided routinely. And again, as I stated earlier, if there's a request that is overly burdensome or onerous, or the numbers become overly burdensome, then they have the right to come to the Quarry Bob Committee and ask for some relief in that.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Rodriguez, please.
I just wanted to take a moment to recognize the members of the Dallas Zoological Society Board and leadership that are here. So why don't you just stand up so we can recognize all of you. Thank you for being here and for all of your hard work in this endeavor.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, please.
Yeah, I will be supporting this, and I'm excited about it. I think you can look to the top 10 zoos and see the structure that they have. We're following that structure, so that's exciting. Dallas Zoo has always been a great spot to go to, and it's even going to get better, so we're excited about that. One of the things we've heard throughout this conversation is the word transparency. Everything you're going to do is out there to be looked at, mainly by the professionals. USDA, I think, is what's going to come in. They're going to do it. They've got the oversight ability. AZA is going to have oversight ability. And once they do that, they'll come in, and these are trained professionals. They know what they're doing, and they're going to put it right out there on the site for everybody to see. And these, again, are professionals that do this. So the oversight, I believe, is there. And as transparent as anything there is. So with that, Mayor, again, I will be supporting this 110%.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Cadet, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, will be supporting this. I know when I was on the park board, and Paul may remember, that was one of the first things I said. I said, we need a world-class zoo, and we need to beat the zoos around our neighborhood and make sure our people go here and not there. So, and I think that is happening. I think it's going to happen. I know that the DZS has been there, I believe, with the park department around every decision that was made out there. So they've been partners for quite a while, and they know what's going on. They know the operations. And I think what's going to happen here, we're going to see things move maybe a little faster than we could have with the city operating. And the city did a good job, but I think that DZS can do a quicker and a better job. Some of the capital improvements, I'd like to probably know, most of them in the last several years came from the DZS. So that will continue, and I think it's just a great partnership. I know we, back when we started this, when we got to Hudson, we said, we're going to put you guys together, and we got a dream team. We truly do now with the DZS and DZM, and I think it will move forward. One thing I'd like to say is this moved fast and quickly because of the budget, and we did need it to help our budget move forward. And I think that we've lost ground if we don't move it forward. So I'm not for delaying this at all. But let's move it forward, and we can work the kinks out as we go along. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Can anything else? Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I certainly am supportive of the concept, and I'm trying to approach this not from a financial standpoint. Because the danger of us as council members and policymakers of looking at stalling the current year's budget crisis, and this is something I said at the retreat. I said, be careful about us being focused on dealing with our city budget this year at a compromise to what the collateral damage is in years out. So I'm trying to look at this from the perspective of what's the best way in long term for the zoo as an entity for our citizens. Mr. Perkins. And you may have Art with you, but I'm chain of command guy, so if Tom wants, you know, and so forth. What is the council, I'm still concerned about the naming right issue because it is a public facility, it is owned by the city, What is the current practice, current process for the city as it relates to naming rights for city property? I'm specifically going to number 15 in the item.
We have a wide variety of naming rights arrangements throughout the city, particularly with cultural affairs projects.
Well, if that's the case, how would this be applicable?
Well, what we are going to do is we're going to use the type of standards. The Park Department has naming rights standards for various facilities that they have. And the idea is to first make it subject to whatever naming rights and sponsorship relationships are there at the point, and then to develop a set of standards in the contract for what would be acceptable, not acceptable. There are a few things that are just, you know, off the table.
Liquor, alcohol,
yes,
farming,
or, yes, or
tobacco.
Those sort of things. Then there's a negotiation that goes on with, well, you've got small, relatively minor naming rights and sponsorships, the water fountain or a fountain or something like that, versus an entire facility or exhibit, that sort of thing. And the idea is we might have different levels of oversight.
Proceeds from the naming, under what's proposed in what we have here, proceeds would go to the DZMD, DAZF, and come to the city.
It would go to the management entities as zoo revenues to be used for the operation of the zoo, for the agreement.
Okay. Did you want to share the sidebar or no?
They just asked me to make clear, wanted to make clear that the funds would be for support of the zoo or capital projects related to the zoo. And I was just including all of those as zoo operators.
Ms. Davis asked you about business plan or as it relates to the new formed entity, and your comment was you don't have one yet. Would you want to clarify that? That threw me for a loop.
There's been work that Michael and Greg have done with outside consultants who've helped with management agreements for zoos before. There is a budget, a business plan for the operation of the facility promptly after October 1. Michael can probably address that more fully than I can.
Councilman Newman, the reality is that Greg Hudson is still an employee of the City of Dallas and therefore cannot work.
Understood.
For DZM at this point. So DZM does not have a separate business plan. It is our plan to try and operate the zoo very consistent with the way that it's currently operated, and Mr. Hudson or Mr. Dyer could probably address what is already in place. But we're not changing our operations. We're essentially trying to maintain what we're doing given the budget situation that we're all facing.
Sorry.
Okay. But it is certainly a reasonable expectation, and certainly something that we would do is to have a business plan that would be available and ready to go for October 1.
So go back to Art. We're Art or Tom or Paul. But last question, I hope. So in essence, what I've been saying all this morning is, what's the city's oversight? What's the role? To say it's all or nothing, I don't think is a good way of providing oversight. To say, well, you can always just fire them, that's not how you develop and nurture a long-term relationship. So I'm not interested in all or nothing. What I'm interested in is, what's the expectation that this council and our citizens can have as it relates to us outsourcing this entity and its oversight? You said before, why don't you tell me one more time so we're very clear, because I want to be clear about what is it that we are, in essence, where our oversight is or is not.
Okay. First of all, I think we have to understand that this body has certain oversight, if you will, over Park Board and Park Department through the appointment of your members and the relationship between this body and that organization. We do have...
Meaning what? That I should call my Park Board member up and say, don't do that on that action item?
You have that ability. You have that ability to consult with your Park Board member and work with them on any issue, which I'm sure you do on a regular basis.
Very
careful. I don't think that we should underestimate the idea that the city, this body, as its acting body, has the authority to cancel this contract upon reasonable notice. I know you say the all or nothing option is not effective, but the idea is if this body is not pleased with the way the zoo is going, it has that option. It also has the power of the purse strings, the budget process and the appropriation process. When I was previously up here speaking, I went through a number of the things that are going to be in the contract that allows this body, either directly or through its park board, to oversee the relationship. First of all, there's going to be the operational standards that are provided in the contract, what they're expected to do. We're talking about providing a zoo that is at least where we are right now, that's going to meet all the accreditations, that's going to be hopefully a growing and expanding zoo. They're supposed to provide efficient, safe, clean, healthy operations at the zoo and care of the animals per finest industry standards that we can define, that we can describe. Then there's the provisions of financial controls and the reports that are going to be coming from the organization on a periodic basis to the park department, the park board, and if the council wants to see them, certainly the city council. There's the power of audit. If this body does not feel that it's getting what it needs from the organization or from the park board, for that matter, with respect to financial information, or it can ask and has, it will have the right to audit books and records. There's specific provisions, and again, because the charter especially deals with them, regarding parking fees and admission fees. Then we have the issues of the naming rights. We have one thing that hasn't been mentioned is we're talking about building into the agreement a master planning and a steering committee function that will serve as kind of a coordinating arm between the body and between the city, through the park board and the park department, to take a look at the long-range planning for the organization, for the zoo, and a steering committee, which will be kind of a way to deal with coordination issues before they escalate into anything bigger.
Is it DZM's plan then to develop a master plan under your leadership? And is that master plan, is that submitted to the park board, to the council, or is that something that you all develop on your own independent of the city and our $11 or $13 million a year that we support?
As a matter of fact, we're already in a master plan process for the next evolution or the phase of the zoo, and that we do that every 5 or 6 years. We'll just continue that with them. We're still the construction oversight agency, and so we'll still be the monitor for the city and bring that master plan. Certainly, we've always briefed the council on master plans. We'll continue to do so in the future. I think, as was mentioned, there's financial oversight. As it relates to the naming rights, the park board has never exercised authority on naming rights. They have used the veto power. They said, if you come in with a donor for the Exxon Tiger exhibit, tell us before you announce it publicly, and if we don't like Exxon, then let's sit down and talk about it, because we don't want to embarrass anyone. But certainly, that has been something that has been done through the veto, and the only power the board has ever had over that or wanted to have was the veto authority, because it they need that latitude to go negotiate those.
All right, thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Carroway, please, briefly.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me say to the Meadows and to the society, one, I really appreciate you all stepping up to the plate, the entire society, and Michael, all of the work that you all have done, the commitment that you've had over the years to the zoo, and I look forward in us having a greater zoo behind the leadership and the direction that the society is going to take the Dallas Zoo. And with that being said, let me officially request to the mayor that I want to see a record vote when we take this vote. And good luck, and we do appreciate you and all of the efforts you're doing, that you're going to continue to do, and that you've done.
Mr. Allen, please.
Very quickly, we've talked about business plans. We talked about various agreements, and in particular the termination agreement. It can come back to city, so on and so forth. We've talked about who can do it, but the reality of it is the simplicity of the whole thing is right now we've got a city of 1.3 million. You got 700,000+ people a year that go out there with their eyes, with their ears, with their noses. They see that zoo. And at the end of the day, they're the ones that's going to dictate the termination plan, if there is one. And what I suspect, and what I think this council is going to tell you, what they're going to be doing is when they walk away, they're going to put their hands together and clap. That's the expectation. So with that, Mayor, I'll move it to you.
Right. Anything else? I'd like to join Ms. Margolin to thank each and every one of you, not only for being here, but for your dedication to the zoo. I've gotten a chance to, I think, work on the zoo board with nearly every single one of you, and I would echo what she said. Everybody that serves on that board does it because they love the zoo, they love what the zoo does, they have a deep commitment to the animals and to the people of the zoo, and I can tell you that's why I think this is such important. We're dealing with it in the context of this budget, but from my perspective, what this is all about is trying to take this zoo to the next level. Clearly, it would not get there under the status quo. I would remind everybody that the standards that we're asking them to live up to are the standards in place today, not the standards what they would be if the Zoological Society did not step up. Because as we know, those standards would fall. We're asking them to come up to a high standards. And when we ask somebody to manage, we've got to give them the freedom to manage. We've got to have them give the degrees of freedom to be able to do that job and to try to push this forward. We can't continue to overlook every single decision that they make. We've got to have the confidence in the people and the structure of what we're doing to allow them to go forward. And not only in terms of what we're talking about today, but in the hopes that there's going to be other conversations that we're going to have, other conversations to get other community organizations involved in what we're doing and to help us push this city forward. That's what it's all about. We can't control everything. It wouldn't make sense. We clearly have the control, and I think it's an important one. At some point, if there is a disagreement, then we can pull it back. And in the end, that is the important one. But I want to thank you very much for stepping forward. This is going to make a big difference, not only today, but more importantly tomorrow. Because this zoo, I think, can, and I think it should, be regarded as the best in the nation. And this is the way that we're going to get it there. There's going to be a lot of decisions. There's no guarantees. But I think this is the only way that we're going to be able to get the status quo is going to do it. So I want to thank you for doing it. We have a motion that's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, go ahead and record vote.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Leppert, Caraway, Medrano, Cardane, Newman, Coop, Natinsky, Salazar, Atkins, Hill, Davis, Hasso, Margolin, Hunt, Allen. The full city council is present. None in opposition.
Michael, Greg, all of you, go do a great job. We're behind you. We're not going to overlook everything, not try to look over your shoulders. We're going to be supportive of you. We want you to do a great job. The zoo is important to everybody, and thank you very much for stepping forward on this. We appreciate it. Item number 9, please.
Item number 9 on your consent agenda is to authorize a 24-month master agreement for the rental of service vehicles, light and heavy equipment, and cranes, Hertz Equipment Rental Corp., for $2,469,810, CLS Sewer Equipment Company, for $1,792,404, Landmark Equipment, Inc., for $1,141,944, R&D Services, Inc., for $993,600, Caps Rent-A-Car, Inc., for $613,686, Bain Machinery, Inc., for $596,400, Romco Equipment Company, for $460,200, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, for $423,516, TNT Crane and Rigging, Inc., for $379,180, B&R Equipment, for $276,000, Equipment Support Services for $199,200. Holt Texas Limited for $109,188. Conley Lock Nichols of Texas, Inc. for $72,000. and Four Seasons Equipment, Inc. for $43,200 worth, lowest responsible bidders of 16. Councilmember Neiman pulled the item.
Mr. Neiman, please.
Thank you. Mr. Cook. Or Jack Ireland. I don't know if you need Jack with this or not. That's fine. Dave, if I read this correctly, what's being presented to us is a roughly a 30% increase over the previous contract.
Yes, comparing apples to apples.
Is my math correct that this is a $2.2 million increase for the same service than what was previously approved?
It would be if we use all of the quantities.
So why do the contract if you're not planning on doing all the quantities? I'm confused.
The master agreement, this is like most,
yep,
allows us to set a firm price, in this case for a two-year period, and for these vehicles and major equipment, if and when we need this type of vehicle on an as-needed basis, this locks in a price that we have access to for 2 years. So for
locks
instance,
in a floor or locks in a ceiling?
It locks in the rate.
The rate.
So if we need a 40-ton crane for a number of hours with an operator, that price is set right today with an affirmative vote. The hourly rate is set for that crane for the next crane and operator for the next 2 years in the event we need it. And we've got, I focus on the cranes right now, but we've got different sizes of cranes, for instance, and we fully do not expect to utilize all of the estimated quantities.
If you're not expecting to use the quantities, why are you proposing the master agreement? I'm confused.
So that it sets a ceiling overall. The $9.5 million total is the ceiling grand total in the event that we were to use all those quantities, but we do not expect to. As evidence from the previous contract that was set a couple years ago, we have a couple million dollars left unspent on that one.
Where does it say in our briefing materials that there's money unspent from the last one?
It may not be in the background.
It does not.
We've tried to, in the wording, let it be known that these aren't firm quantities for the 2 years. These vehicles are rented on an as-needed basis.
But how much was unspent in the previous contract?
More than $1.5 million unspent.
Okay, so if we use the full contract, it's going to cost us $2.2 million more than the previous contract, but you're not anticipating using the full contract.
Correct.
Why not throw these out and start over if you're looking at a $2.2 million potential increase in cost to the general fund?
Good question. We might have been tempted to do that had we had very limited bid participation. But in this bid, it was very well advertised, very well seen by the vending community, and with 16 separate bidders, we think this is a good, fair, competitive, open price. I'm not sure I can explain the market change from
30% increase
from 2 years ago, but it is significantly up. That can't be denied.
Okay.
But we think they're good, fair prices because
okay.
of the competition.
Thank you.
I need a motion, please. That's been moved by Mr. Jinsky, seconded by Mr. Atkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, if you would, please read in 29 to 30 into the record. Those will be dealt with collectively.
Item number 29 is authorized, number one, a development agreement with La Reunion Town Center, LLC, and or its affiliate, Orleans at La Reunion, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $4,700,000, payable from future Fort Worth Avenue TIF District funds for the development of Orleans at La Reunion in Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 15, Fort Worth Avenue TIF District, and number two, the Fort Worth Avenue TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $4,700,000 from future Fort Worth Avenue TIF revenues in accordance with the development agreement. Item number 30 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 15 to reimburse La Reunion Town Center LLC and its affiliate, Orleans La Reunion LLC, for eligible expenditures pursuant to the development agreement up to $4,700,000.
Mr. Newman.
Mayor and council members, first of all, I move approval.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Cadane seconded. Thank you.
Council members, this is what I call building block project. Along the Fort Worth Avenue corridor, and Fort Worth Avenue turns into Commerce, turns into downtown, This is a spine of development in Oak Cliff that has the potential of redeveloping. And in the midst of this economic environment and malaise, here we have a patch of land that had apartment buildings that have been dilapidated and subsequently closed apartments, and we have the opportunity to actually invest in, through the TIP process, in long-term redevelopment of an area to bring residential, retail, commercial. Surrounding neighborhoods are very supportive of this. I'm supportive of it because I think it's a good extension of our effort to try to re-engender economic development. One question for the record, Carl, please. And you and I have talked about this sidebar, but I want on the record. The access to the TIF funds, what's the basis in a very basic way that the developer gets the TIF funds?
They've got to complete the construction and meet all the requirements that are in place, and they don't get the money until after the work is done.
So after it's done, and the meet, I could barely hear you.
I said after the work is done, they get the money.
Okay. Any reservations on your part as far as this proposal?
No, not really. It's the catalyst project for the Fort Worth Avenue TIF.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Carl, this project is part of the Lowry Union project. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the 108 money that we earmarked for the Lowry Union project, how much is that?
Well, there was about $5 million that was earmarked for the phase that we previously...
Excuse me. Speak of Spanish.
Yeah, we have static. Keep going. We'll try to see what the issue is.
I can hear you.
There was about $5 million that was earmarked for the first phase, which we have approved. For this phase, there's about $9 million that's earmarked, but that will be separately addressed and come through the Housing Committee and be approved separately by the Council. But that is a component of this project.
Let me jump in. Carl, do you have a BlackBerry or anything on you? I'm just trying to figure out what the interference. What's the interference? Is that what it is? Okay.
Better?
No, still there.
Didn't do it. Sorry to interrupt you, though.
Okay.
Telephone.
Now let's assume it's not you and keep on going. Okay.
But
let's keep going. Let's keep going. Okay.
The first money that went from the 108 fund, we had a $4 million and another $1 million, that's correct?
It was a $5 million total. $5.1
million. And now the $4.7 million is TIF money. And the reason why you come to us today is to authorize the $4.7 million in order to find out how you're going to come back to us for the $9 million.
Yeah, I mean, the total project cost is about $32 million. It includes the demolition of the entire apartment complex in addition to the 200. The whole south side of the project is being demolished. And then this phase will involve 220 apartment units. So the total cost of this project plus the demolition is about $32 million. The TIF reimbursement of 4.7 is predicated on completing all that work successfully.
Okay. What is the time limit?
I think it's expected to be completed in mid 2012. Couple of years.
If they're not completed, what happens?
Well, if it doesn't get completed, then the TIF money doesn't get reimbursed.
Okay, if it do not get completed, and we're gonna base on the 4.7 million, you're gonna come back to us, 90 days, 100 days, for the $9 million of the 108 money, and that's based on the TIF money.
Well,
in order to get the $9 million.
The 108. The 108 loan request will be separately underwritten. One of the components for repayment
is the TIF reimbursement. So you'll be able to look at that individually, evaluate it in the context of the project and the repayment sources.
When do you think that you will come back to us for the $9 million for the 108 money?
Probably in the next 30 to 60 days.
Next 30 to 60 days.
Now that Mr. Killingsworth will be bringing that before the Housing Committee.
Okay. Is Ms. Killingsworth here today?
Sure.
Let me see.
Ms. Killingsworth, simple question. This project is probably maybe a $15 million project with 108 funds in order to make sure this project goes forward. Is there any reason you did not brief the council that said, number one, we are going to put the first $5 million in. Now we got another $9 million coming down the pipeline. You also got to come back to the council for the 4.71 for the TIF in order to make sure guaranteed the $9 million do get paid back. Is there any reason why you did not break it down that way? Why you did not come to us first and say, we are target $15 million with 108 money to make sure this project goes forward?
Council member, we briefed the La Reunion courtyard project to you in May, maybe the first part of June, and you voted on that project. At that time, we showed a master development at that time, and I at that point, there was a matrix that was sent to all of the council members. I don't have the specific date, but I'm almost certain that La Reunion Orleans was on that project, and I thought that, and I may be mistaken about this, but I thought that during the conversations in June, either at the Housing Committee or here, that we talked about there would be, it would require at least $15 million of 108 funds to do these two deals.
Okay. Are you comfortable in this project?
I'm comfortable in the La Reunion project as a master plan. In order to get their financing now, they need the 108. Before
right.
we move forward, we have been waiting to see if they were going to get the TIF reimbursement, how much that TIF reimbursement was going to be, when it was going to be flowing in so that we could do our underwriting to see if we could collateralize a 108 loan. And so I'm not at that point because this is just being approved today, but I would expect that we would bring to you, we will schedule it now and bring to you within the next 4 weeks to the Housing Committee, and you will be looking at that project to either go up or down on it.
Okay. On the 108 fund, we had $75 million, you know, 37.5 to the north, 37.5 to the south. What is our balance towards the south?
That is committed right now?
That's correct.
We have, Carl, do you have that matrix that I prepared for you? All that is committed right now is the La Reunion Courtyard project. We have in the pipeline the La Reunion Orleans project at $9 million. We have the Zang Triangle application in. It hasn't been processed yet because there are some TIF extensions that are required in order to process that project. And that is $3.7 million. We have a fourth project that is the Smart Apartments in the Cedars right next to the old Ramada Hotel. And it would be about $1.7 million, and that's, we just have a partial application in. If all four of those went forward, we would be at $19.5 million, or roughly $18 million short of using all of the commitments for the southern sector.
And of the $18 million we got left over, is there anything else in the pipeline that might eat up the $18 million? As of today?
As of today, applications in hand, no, sir.
I got you on record. No other project is in the pipeline that is ever more than 18 million. AC, you want to come forward?
His answer was correct. However,
thank you.
We are in conversations with projects north Oak Cliff in the Lancaster area, the Southwest Center Mall area, you know, et cetera. Depending on how you describe or would want to describe pipeline, I mean, there's conversations, but until you get an application, you don't know what that's going to materialize or not.
Thank you, Mayor. I will be supporting.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item 48, please.
Item number 48 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 063362 to increase the loan amount of $150,000 on existing economic development loan with High Tech Enterprises, Inc. to facilitate the construction of the retail component of a mixed-use building at 5203 Bexar Street. Councilmember McGowan pulled the item.
Ms. McGowan, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand a little bit more about how something like this is done, and so I just have a couple of questions. AC, Carl, I don't know who the appropriate person is. When a project like this is done, how much does the investor or the developer contribute of his own capital?
It varies from project to project, but specifically on this one, he's putting up 75%, and we're putting up roughly 25%.
And then is there a loan on top of that, or his money includes the loan?
Yes, his money includes his loan.
Is there any of his own money in the deal?
Yes. In this project, the land was originally his, and then he has to put cash in above the loan. The total development cost is about $1.6 million. We're putting in about $455,000 in, and the loan is going to be in the nature of about $750,000. That's still being underwritten, so there's about $400,000 of developer money that has to be put in this transaction.
And if our money were not in the transaction, what would the consequence be? The rents would be
too high? This deal wouldn't get done, Ms. Margolin. This is in Bear Street, and this is a redevelopment area.
Well, I understand that, but my question is, are you buying down rents? Are you trying to make the cost of housing cheaper? What is the city accomplishing with the money that we put in?
The construction costs are the same, whether they're in South Dallas or North Dallas. You can't get the rents either on the retail side, because half of the project here is retail, and half of the project is going to be affordable housing. So you're subsidizing what is taken to offset the construction costs versus the rents that you can get.
So it enables the retail space to be rented for less, and it allows the housing to, is it rental housing, or is it?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So
it's
it allows the housing to rent for less. Okay. So that's what we're accomplishing with
yes,
the money
ma'am.
That we put in. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
I would like to move this agenda item 48 for approval.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 54, please.
Item number 54 is authorized supplemental agreement number 1 to the professional service contract with Lenny Schwendinger Light Projects Limited for coordination of the public art project at Main Street Garden Park located at 1917 Commerce Street. Councilmember Margolin.
Ms. Margolin, please.
Hi, Mr. Winter. My question on this is really it's a general question that I'm carrying forward from my park board days, and that is that it seems that the park department has so many change orders on items that where the total cost could have been foreseen, and I get very confused because it's very unclear to me when I see all these change orders whether the initial full cost of the project was known, but you're just parceling it out over time, or whether these are, it's just one unforeseen circumstance after another. And so I guess my question on this particular one is, this additional $16,000 for the artist to work with, I guess, coordinate with those who are going to construct it, was that not foreseen? I mean,
Not to the extent that the project has ended up. This is a major component of the Main Street Garden project, which is a sort of an art lighting component called Spectrascape, named by the artist as Spectrascape. It'll be a major feature of Main Street Garden Park. The original contract with Lenny Schwendinger was for construction and administration. It included three visits to Dallas, one during the what we call the pre-construction conference with all the bidders to come in, sit, and listen to questions, answer questions. Another one to come just during the course of construction of the project and inspect the work that's being done. And then a final trip to do what we call digital life programming, which has not been done yet. This is a very complicated public art project. It involves LED lights that go around the top of 10 garden shelters on the north side of the park. And so they will be coming. They've developed a color scheme for each of the four seasons of the year and in a sunrise and sunset scheme, and they actually have to program the work once all of the LED and electronics are in place. The proposal today is for basically two additional trips to Dallas. The first one is to test mock-up, actual mock-up of the lighting, which is very important. We did not anticipate at the time of the original contract that we would have a mock-up test. So we realize that that's needed now, and so this pays for them to come to Dallas for the mock-up. And that means that they will be putting a mock-up of the LED lights, the glass panels in front of the lights, out on the site at night so that everyone can evaluate whether it's going to work, how it needs to be tweaked, et cetera. The second trip in this supplemental agreement is in the event that we need maybe an additional programming session. In other words, they're going to program the lights. It will open with the park in October. Hopefully everything will be fine. In the event that it still needs further tweaking later, we've included that in this contract in the event. So this is not a guarantee we're going to do all this, but in the event that we did need to bring them back to Dallas one more time to fine-tune.
So them is a lot of people at about 8,000 a trip?
Yeah, but a lot of this is just travel from New York.
For how many people?
There's one two-person trip to Dallas for the mock-up for two nights, and then one-person trip to Dallas, and that's for the programming if we need it.
Okay. I mean, I know we're not talking about huge dollars, but it's hard for me to believe that that would cost $16,000.
A lot of this cost is unfortunately travel and hotel.
$16,000?
That's the 16 is the total cost, including their time. The travel is approximately little less than $4,000 out of that $16,000 cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that please?
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Cadane. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item 63, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, which item?
63.
Item number 63 is to authorize a professional services contract with Core Pro Companies, Inc. for corrosion prevention design for five priority water transmission pipeline locations. Councilmember Atkins pulled the item.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes. 63.
Mayor, I got all my questions asked on this one.
Okay. Thank you. Can I get the motion then?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So ordered. Item 56, Madam Secretary. 56.
Item number 56 is to authorize a professional services contract with KAI Texas LLC for design and construction administration of the replacement of the Highland Hills Branch Library to be located at 6200 Bonnie View Road. Councilmember Atkins, pull the item.
Okay, is Mr. Williams here, Dave Williams? Highland Hill is getting a new library. We are, might be closing library, but we're building new libraries. Thank you, Mayor. And this rate.
Well, we're not closing
any
library.
Closing the library.
On the record,
I'll try to make sure you're awake.
Close library, that's the way.
the reason why I pulled this item, you know, for so long, we always talk about minority contractors, you know. And this contractor, by the name of Darrell James, I don't know if he's here today. Come down, Darrell. He used to be a subcontractor, and he was a subcontractor on the Eastfield College Pleasant Grove project, the Burr Street project, and also on the DIC New Elementary School in Whitman Hutchins. And it is going to show that procurement is doing a great job of going back and get our subcontractor. Now, instead of being a subcontractor, now he's a prime contractor. And I just want to come forward, say a couple words, and this is why we're trying to build capacity, Dwayne. You know, this is something to say, hey, how do we get subcontractor to be a prime? He earned his dues. He's a small, 100% minority company. I just want to make sure he gets some special recognition. You want to say a couple words?
Thank you, Councilman Atkins, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and the City Council. We really appreciate this opportunity. We're very passionate about providing design opportunities to our community, and so we appreciate the opportunity to do the Highland Hills Library. As Councilman Ackerman said, we have done a lot of educational projects, and we're excited about the replacement for Highland Hills. And as City Manager said, we're not closing libraries, we're just adding capacity to the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Allen?
I was just going to say real quick, Councilman Atkins, thanks for those good positive comments, because as we look at Mr. Williams and then Mr. Cook too, and the awards that they win time after time after time again. So you're absolutely correct. We've got a great department doing a lot of hard work, and we see the results of what's happening. Thank you for your observation.
All right, thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Davis?
I just want to piggyback. Thank you, Mayor. I just want to piggyback off of Mr. Allen. Dave, thank you, guys. You stepped up to the table, and you took a subcontractor, and now you're giving him opportunity to build and design a library in Mr. Atkins district. We just have to keep these type of things going for everybody who wants an opportunity to do business with the city of Dallas.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Atkins, is that motion? Yes, Mr.
I just wanted to add one more thing. One more thank you needs to go to the Public Works Department, because it was actually their contract, and they understood the message that the council's been delivering and the purchasing office been delivering, and thanks to Public Works.
I'm going to ask you for a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? All right. Move through. Mr. Atkins, item number 65.
Item number 65 is authorize a contract for the construction of a new dewatering facility at the Southside Wastewater Treatment Plant. Archer Western Contractors Limited, lowest responsible bidder of three. Councilmember Atkins.
Okay. Mr. Cook. You know, we generally have our weekly meeting before we vote on any contract comes to the council, and this was the first one that Mr. Cook missed, Mary, you know, on our meeting. You know, he was, because of the budget, you know, he was exhausted. This $39 million contract for water and capital improvements, tell us a little bit about the contract and tell us, do we have any subcontract or minority contract as part of this project?
We do have, I'm not going to speak to the details of the project. I'll ask the water department and Cesar Baptiste to do that. But the participation is very strong and very diverse on this project. You can see on the business inclusion and development plan summary that we have a variety of firms ranging from fairly small participation of Espinosa Tile Company with a $39,000 participation, ranging up to the James C. Paris Company, $6.5 million participation in this contract. Overall, it's a 25% participation with a 25.25%, which is a little bit above our goal for construction contracts of 25%, but very wide variety. The project, and this doesn't happen accidentally, it's Mr. Williams and his staff breaking down the project scope to see where there are subcontracting opportunities to make sure the prime, a lot of primes do it by themselves without help and assistance, but we're there to help and assist and make sure that they identify subcontracting opportunities so that we can meet these goals that we have and quite often exceed the goals that we have on this project.
Okay, Mr. Day? You know, Day, you know, we talk about capacity of the building, and there's quite a bit of project in the water department, and most of those projects range from $20 million to $40 million, sometimes $50 million, and most of the minority contracts cannot do those type of projects. Are we moving forward? Just give me a brief of what is our timeline and where are we today trying to build capacity for the minority contracts to be able to bid on those $40 million contracts, not to be a sub, but also be a prime. Where are we?
Well, this the last example that you shared is a good one, and because of the improvement that the council made to the business, the inclusion program that we have, the DID program, we are seeing natural formation between the large companies and the minority companies forming partnership and joint venture automatically coming to staff. And I have to say, as Ms. Soon said, the water department, public works, EBS, all the contracting departments, they get it. The project managers get it, and we're beginning to see the fruits of that. Now, of course, we watch the ones that we give, like the one that has $6.5 million. We'll watch them, try to help them create wealth. And so when we have specific projects related to their area of specialty, we'll invite them, give them opportunity to be prime the next time around. So it's happening gradually.
And I need to give some strength out to our city manager, Mary Soon. Mary, you know, your department is doing a great job. You know, if you take someone who is bidding on a, who is a prime on a $40 million contract, and all of a sudden the subcontract is a $6 million part of that project, and maybe 2 years from that he can be the prime on the 40. So that means your department is doing a great job. And also, I'd like to thank Mayor Leppard for his vision in trying to build these minority contracts to make sure they be a prime contract, and also try to bond these small contracts. Again, thank you, Mayor, and your staff. Would that be so moved?
Second. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Number 7, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 70 is to authorize acceptance of a zoning application with delinquent taxes on property located at 2509 Thomas Avenue. We do have one speaker signed up to speak on this item. That is Myron Mims.
And as Mr. Mims coming down, I would point out that this does require a two-thirds vote for approval.
Mr. Mims, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Myron Mims, 3129 Ross Avenue. Mayor Leppard, I'm here really to answer any questions that the council may have. I've went over the matter with staff, Richard Brown in particular, and Neva also assisted us in making the application. So if the council has any questions, we're here to answer.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Since it's in the record, Ms. Hutt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In talking with Mr. Mims and staff about this, the issue is this. Currently, the property taxes are in arrears, correct?
That is correct.
And the person you represent who wants to purchase the property and make sure that those taxes are paid also wants a zoning change.
That is correct.
To make the property productive. Right now it's not being useful, it's not improved, and the person you represent, the applicant, wants to actually improve the property and put a facility on the property, correct?
That is correct. A medical office, that's correct.
But the first step in doing that, and in this case, is to deal with this waiver on the property taxes. Can you walk us through that just a little bit about you know, we talked a little bit about the cart before the horse.
Sure, absolutely. Staff will not accept a special use permit without the taxes being current. So we cannot proceed with the SUP to allow the medical office. Currently, the property is a vacant single-family residence. So we cannot amend the use.
So let me just stop you there. Your client needs a specific use permit.
Yes.
For the business that she wants to put it on the property. But that specific use permit can't be processed because the taxes are in arrears, correct?
That is correct.
And your client doesn't want to purchase the property if she cannot move forward with a specific use permit because it's not of use to her for her business.
Correct.
Okay. And I just want to make my colleagues aware that we're not in any way, shape, or form, which was my concern, waiving the requirement and the obligation to pay these property taxes.
Absolutely not.
And when will these property taxes be paid?
Upon the purchase, which will happen assuming that this council, as we discussed, this matter must come back before the council, assuming the council approves the SUP, then we will proceed with the purchase. Obviously, the taxes have to be paid as a part of that purchase transaction.
And
so your contract's contingent on the zoning change.
That is correct.
And let's see, to be very clear, we are not, I just want to put a fine point on this since we're having such a budget crisis. We don't want to waste a penny.
Sure.
But we are not saying it's okay that these property taxes are in arrears. What we're saying is we're allowing the zoning application to go forward.
That is correct.
While the property taxes are in arrears.
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
There's no waiver of the taxes.
Absolutely.
Right. And let me just amplify what Ms. Hunt said, because I think it's important we do. Otherwise, we couldn't accept the zoning application because there's taxes sitting out there. So what this allows us to do by the two-thirds vote is accept the zoning application, have it go forward while these taxes are still in arrears, with the hope that it comes together with a zoning change, the contract, and the taxes all being paid at the same point. But otherwise, none of this would be able to go forward if we couldn't accept that zoning application.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think you explained it very well. And this is property that has not been useful for how long?
I believe the property is currently in an estate. I don't believe it's been occupied for an excess of maybe 5 years.
5 years. We want to get this property back online, earning dollars for the city of Dallas. So I'll be moving to approve, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion, second from Mr. Atkins. Mr. Nitinsky, please.
I'll be supporting it after the explanation, Mr. Mayor. I only want to make sure, and I don't know who on staff wants to answer this, I just want to make sure that we have a mechanism in place to achieve what we had verbalized here. I think your intentions, the applicant's intentions are good, but, you know, closings are complicated and all that, so I want to make sure, I mean, do we have a current lien on there that would, is there a mechanism to prevent the closing from taking place unless we get our $29,000?
No, sir, I should probably defer to the attorney's office on this, simply because
I think the mechanism would be the zoning won't go into place, assuming it's approved. The zoning would not go into place until those taxes are paid.
Okay, question, Mr. Mayor, and maybe I'm trying.
We really can't condition.
Maybe I'm trying to put a finer point than Ms. Hunt. I just want to make sure that there is a mechanism to make that happen. And I'm, you know, from hanging around City Hall a long time, I'm not sure there is, but maybe Mr. Rogers here can tell us what it is.
Yeah, in this situation,
I don't care about the details, John. I just want to know we either have it or we don't have it.
Right. The taxes will get paid when the purchaser closes on the property, and no title company in the world is going to let the property go to closing if there's outstanding taxes due on it.
So there is a lien on the property for $29,000?
What
is the title company going to find that's going to make them collect the $29,000?
Well, you know, title company, it's typical for a title company, before they do a closing, they check and see if there's any outstanding taxes, and they will not close a property if there's outstanding taxes owed. So out of the proceeds,
they wouldn't get a title policy. They couldn't get a title policy.
Okay, so there is a mechanism.
We've done this before.
But is there a lien on the property, or is it just outstanding taxes?
Yes. There is a tax lien on the property.
That's what I'm looking for.
Your action today is not create a lien.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate it, Mr. Tinsky. Mr. Cadet, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to say, you won't close the property without paying the taxes. You got to be there. That's there. One question I wanted to ask, and I want to be clear on it. This has not gone through zoning yet.
No, it has not.
So y'all are going to go through, are y'all going to purchase the property first, or is it contingent upon your zoning?
It's contingent upon the zoning.
Okay, so once you get your zoning, What are we approving? We're not approving any.
The only thing we're allowed, we would not accept a zoning application unless the taxes are paid.
Okay.
This allows us to accept the zoning application.
Okay.
And go through
that's
the process.
That's what I'm getting at. But if he goes through zoning, and well, I shouldn't say that. But if he go, and I'm sure it's okay, it's Ms. Hunt's deal. But if he goes through zoning, and they approve it, he pays his taxes. He comes to council, and for some reason, council doesn't approve the SUP.
Then the contract won't go through because it won't meet conditions of the contract.
I don't think so.
You'll walk on the contract then.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. The zoning process includes city council approval.
Okay. Yeah. So you will not purchase the property then until after it goes through council.
That's correct.
Okay. But that purchasing, that's contingent upon paying the taxes.
Right.
Thank you. I'm clear.
So this is almost more of a technical aspect to be able to let the process go forward. Okay. Ms. Hossel, please.
I'll be supporting this for sure. I'm for staff, if they could come back up. Just wonder how many other instances like this that we might have, especially in districts like mine that are older and that have, you know, buildings that have been there for long periods of time. And what I found is that many of those are just abandoned. So, you know, my only point here is that it would be nice to have this somehow available to all of us when we come across especially abandoned houses or abandoned buildings that could be put to better use if someone had some help with the zoning and with the money to pay the back taxes, because I certainly would want to make sure we recoup that. So I would like to see something that all of us could use.
Sure. Well, and everybody can avail themselves to this process. Fortunately, we have not seen many of these over the past 10 years or so. Certainly back in the 90s during the RTC, we saw just a ton of these. Hopefully we won't see it again, but the process is available to everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Ms. Coop, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What is the current zoning on it right now?
PD 225.
In that area of PD 225, what is the use stipulated in the PD?
This is the St. Thomas Historic District and other areas within St. Thomas. It's a mixed-use district. This particular use and office uses in general require an SUP at this location. So the St. Thomas, which is, again, one of our older historical neighborhoods, has some unique use guidelines that do allow a lot of mixed uses, residential mixed with office, things of that nature, in the same district. So in this instance, this particular use requires a specific use permit. So it's zoned for mixed uses today.
With an SUP. And then what would it be rezoned to?
They're asking for a specific use permit to permit the medical office use, or they will be, is my understanding.
Oh, I see. So it's not really a rezoning.
It's a specific use permit request that they would hope
to make. Okay, because my question was going to be, if you put the zoning in place, and still maybe that is my question. Yeah, because now it's going to be an SUP of medical use, and then you don't close, then he doesn't pay the no dispersion on you. I'm just trying to think through how this might work. And if the person doesn't actually pay the taxes and that transaction does not occur, then you've got an SUP with medical on it where you didn't have it before. You had an SUP with mixed use on it. So is that really something that we want to do? Because what if the deal falls apart and then we've got an SUP for medical?
I
don't know if that's something we want or don't want. I'm not getting into your zoning. I have no idea. I'm just asking the question, is this a process? The process, for me, there's just a little bit of disconnect here.
It's the same as any other instance, really, when we look at approving a specific use permit.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Anytime we approve a specific use permit, it's going with the land. So I don't think this particular instance is any different than any other instance where the taxes have been paid, everything's current, and the owner walks, or the potential applicant walks after the SUP has been granted. The SUP goes with the land, and it would remain. So it's not really that different than a standard zoning case, but it's unique that they're asking for the waiver
But the same situation would apply in any type of request.
Okay, so I guess my question to Ms. Hunt would be, is that the best use for the land, and are you comfortable if the whole process works like out like what I just said, that someone else ends up purchasing the property, are you comfortable with the medical use being there?
Mr. Mayor?
Please
respond to Ms. Kim. I think that's a really good question, Linda, and I would say this. I've already explained to Mr. Mims and to his client that by this process moving forward today, letting them apply for this waiver so that they can even move forward in their zoning process, I'm not taking a position on whether or not I'll approve this at the end of the day because I haven't had the opportunity to talk with surrounding property owners about whether this is the right use for that area. So it's too premature in the process to know whether or not this is the right use for this property. But it makes sense to me that we would go ahead and have that conversation, and the way you have that conversation is through a zoning case and through the SUP process so that property owners can come forward so he can present a specific plan to this council and to the plan commission.
Okay.
And what I've seen in a lot of SUPs and, frankly, a lot of zoning cases, as you know, this problem child district, as we've talked about, has a lot of zoning cases. But what we see oftentimes is there will be very specific plans that are tailored for a zoning applicant for a very specific use, but it's tailored because it responds to the community. So that use might not be perfect in and of itself, but if it's tailored a certain way with specific requirements, perhaps about times of opening and closing, a sound wall in one case, I mean, there are lots of different requirements you can impose upon that particular zoning case, it can become okay for that environment. However, sometimes finances fall through, and that project doesn't get done.
True.
And so you have something, zoning, sitting there on that property that unless someone comes in and does exactly what the prior applicant was going to do, it's not going to work. And so what ends up happening in reality, just from a practical standpoint, is you get someone else who either purchases the property or obtains the property coming back through the zoning case for another use or for a similar use, but they want to alternate, and you have that conversation again to see if it is an appropriate use for the property. So just from a practical standpoint, that's what occurs. And in this case, for an SUP, we would go through the process, see if it's an appropriate use. And if we were to approve this, I would do it because of the questionability about whether or not this would follow through, it would be closed. I would do it for a very short period of time, as I do some of the other
cases.
We're
getting a little far out.
I understand, Mr. Mayor, but I think it's important to understand this process. So it would be a short SUP just to ensure it's this applicant coming in for that particular use.
Okay. We have a motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Uh-huh.
Any opposed? So ordered. Our next items are 7172. I'm going to turn those over to Mr. Caraway. They have to do with Baylor, and I sit on the board of the Baylor Healthcare System.
Madam Secretary, read 7172 together, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Number 71 is an ordinance granting a plan development subdistrict for a 0-2 office subdistrict within plan development district number 193 on the western half of the abandoned portion of Howell Street between Lemon Avenue East and Lemon Avenue West. Item number 72 is an ordinance granting an amendment to the conceptual plan and conditions for the Track 2 portion of plan development district number 375 in an area generally bounded by Lemon Avenue East, the eastern half of the abandoned portion of Howell Street and Lemon Avenue West. Mayor Leppert has left the council chamber.
Second. All right, it's been moved and second. All in favor? Opposed? Madam Secretary, 73.
Councilmember Coop does have a conflict of interest on this item, and Mayor Leppert may return to the council chamber.
No, the mayor has a conflict on this one as well. Mayor Leppert and Ms.
Coop. No, I show only conflict on 71 and 72.
Okay. All right. Ms. Coop has a conflict on this
Mayor.
Item 73.
Item number 73 is authorized professional services contracts with 5 consulting firms for the engineering design of 9 alley reconstruction projects, 2 storm drainage projects, and 3 street reconstruction projects.
Move approval.
All right, Ms. What? It's been moved approved.
I'll second it, but I've got a
comment. All right, Mr. Natinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know that it makes any difference.
Rick, you want to come up here? The item that's listed in here, alley between Tahoe and Brush Creek Lane, from Brush Creek Lane to Roaring Springs Lane, is listed as being located in District 12, and it may have been a long time ago when that part of the city was District 12, so you might want to, I don't know that it makes any difference as far as the motion, but it's actually part of Ms. Coop's district in District 11.
We'll make sure it's correct.
So give me credit for it. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Newman.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, what is the city's current policy as it relates to alleys? Because we've had this off and on discussion, but I'm, and so when I saw this, I begged the question.
My microphone's not working.
Your what?
My microphone's not working. Basically, in general, we do not have funding to correct very many alleys. I think that will be an item that you will have to discuss and decide if we move forward on our bond program, the next bond program.
So alleys that are being done, this is being done by 03, 98, and 03 bond funds, correct?
We do have some, but across the board, we do not have funds.
So as a matter of city policy, we don't regularly, I mean, we're not repaving or re-concreting alleys.
We don't have the funding to do that.
We don't have the funding to
across
that.
Across the board. There's circumstances when we do, but we do not have the funding
to do that. So these got in the bond program originally, presumably, because the council member and then the council said these specific alley areas.
Not specify that detail. I'll get the information for you, but in general, I would agree with you.
Okay, so I'm just getting, so you're saying it, as a rule, we're not repaving and because we had a briefing about this about a year ago, right?
We did, and you saw how much it would take to institute a program that fixed all the alleys in the city, and it's massive.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there a motion?
Second.
All right. Has been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Ms. Cadane, we have a gentleman that's losing his hair, and I need you to pull your microphone over close to you because it's that time of the year again. If you get ready to crank up a birthday song, I think someone's having a birthday. Who is that? The one with no hair. What are you looking around for, Mr. Atkins?
That's
you, baby.
Yeah.
Let's shoot it over there.
Hell. Go ahead, Chet.
You ready? Everybody ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Danelle. Happy birthday to you. Yay.
Peace. I want Boston to Wayne Harris.
What budget fund did that come
out of? Jerry,
this is all right, Mr. Atkins, happy birthday. Madam Secretary, you're going to read number 69.
Thank you. Item number 69 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There are no appointments for consideration. Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items this morning.
All right. It's now 11:41, August 12, 2009. The Dallas City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from our consultant of the city attorneys on the following matters described in today's agenda.
Go ahead.
We'll return back at 1 o'clock. Okay. Legal issues regarding reduction in force. Okay. We'll be back at 1 o'clock.
Welcome back. Let's begin our afternoon session. There are 8 items on the agenda. Each one of those will be considered individually. So with that, Madam Secretary, if you would just begin with 74, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 74 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a PA parking subdistrict on property zoned an R-5A single-family subdistrict within Plan Development District number 595, on the east line of Southland Street, north of Malcolm X Boulevard, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on the northwest corner of Malcolm X Boulevard and Hatcher Street.
Speak. Mr. Mayor, we sent 36 notices to property owners to interfere their request, received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. It will cross the majority to approve this.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Davis did pull the item.
Motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay,
moved and seconded. All those in favor,
Mr. Mayor, if I could,
please.
Would like to interject, I think, a condition that was desired to be put on. Subject to approve this, to follow the City Plan Commission recommendation, subject to adding the following sentence to the site plan, parking area to be resurfaced and site to be in compliance with construction and maintenance provisions for off-street parking in Section 51A, 4.301D of the Dallas Development Code.
Mr. Atkins, will you still amend your motion?
What?
Will you still amend your motion to cover that condition?
Yes. Well, hold on. Before you repeat that, please.
Oh!
It's all like parking.
The motion is amended. The second is also amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered.
Item number 75 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a CS commercial service district on property zoned on R-7.5A single family district, an ordinance granting a specific use permit for commercial motor vehicle parking, and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant for property on the north side of CF Hahn Freeway east of Silverado Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners for the first year of their request. We received one reply in favor and two replies in opposition. We have received a letter from the applicant requesting this item be held under advisement for 2 months.
Okay. Let me go to you, Mr. Atkins, then before any speakers. Do you want a deferral?
Yeah. Is there a speaker?
If you go deferral, we won't do it. We'll just keep the open meeting open. Do you want to just...
Yes.
So motion for deferral for... How long you?
October 14, 2009. I move to hold this item under advisement until October 14, 2009 with the public hearing held open.
Second?
Second.
Been seconded. All those in favor, Ms. Hunt, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Item number 76, please.
Item 76 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment use for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Plan Development District Number 269 on the north side of Commerce Street east of Good Latimer Expressway.
Mr. Mayor, within 18 notices, property owners within 200 feet of the area request, we received 4 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
We do have some speakers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We do
Are there
have
any
some
speakers?
Possible speakers.
Any speakers?
Do you want to speak on this item? Okay.
If you'll go ahead and come on down, you won't be allowed 3 minutes to speak. We do have speaker cards. Staff will distribute them to you. Once you complete it, if you'll please return it, we would appreciate that. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Reese. Do I need to give my address? I forgot. Yeah, 8626 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75225. The reason I hesitated is if it's going to pass anyway, I didn't want to waste your time. So I'll just talk for a minute. The Tucker's Blues Club, which is supposed to open around Labor Day, is just, I'm more excited about this person as a tenant than I've been excited for a long, long time. DuBellum needs a club like the Tucker's Blues Bar. They're on top of everything. Their paperwork's perfect. They're in there every day. The space is looking great. It's just a wonderful thing for DuBellum, and I'm proud to be the landlord there.
Right.
And I just hope that you guys will pass it and let us have some blues back in DuBellum. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Diane Tucker. My family and I are hoping to be the owners of Tucker's Blues at the space you are now considering. We are very excited about this opportunity and look forward so much to extolling that blues history that Dallas has that has somehow gotten pushed to the side. So we're very excited and hope you will give serious consideration to supporting our effort for the specific use permit for the space on Commerce. And we look forward to doing something that will be good for us and for the city as a whole. We thank you so much for your support.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers?
Ms. Medrano, I think you share their enthusiasm.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mayor, and to Ms. Reese and to Ms. Tucker and to all of you that came to support this club. It's something that Steve Elm has long been needing, and it's just going to add to the uniqueness of Deep Elm, and I wholeheartedly support it. So, Mr. Mayor, I move to approve.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Hutt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Susan, thank you for coming down here, and thank you for the investment that your company is making in a part of town, and this is in Ms. Medrano's district. I have just a teensy bit of Deep Elm, but I think we all as a city want to make sure that Deep Elm is revitalized, that it goes back to its wonderful musical roots. And Ms. Tucker, I couldn't be happier for you, so I will wholeheartedly support this, Ms. Medrano.
Ms. Allen.
Deep Elm is not in my district. Is not in my district, but Ms. Tucker is. And
we knew there was going to be a great connection somewhere. We were waiting for it.
Real quick, I had an opportunity to sit and visit with Ms.
Ms.
Tucker.
Ms. Medrano just wanted to know if she's a wildcat.
She's in Lake Island. She's a wildcat, no question about it. All I'm going to do is just put a caveat on it. What a class act. What a class act. You're it's going to go well, and you're getting yourself a good lady.
Super. Mr. Carroway.
Thank you, Mayor, and let me say that I am a Blues fan, so you will see me there, and Dallas is long needed to have the type of establishment. When I tell you I'm a Blues fan, from B.B. King to Bobby Bland to having a personal relationship with these folks, Miller Jackson, Johnny Taylor, we can just go on and on. Lou Milton, Bobby Bland.
You don't need to go on and on.
We just keep going and keep going and keep going. But very, very excited and total support, and we'll be one of your favorite fans down at the Blues. All right.
Well, it sounds terrific. A little bit inside baseball. I'll go ahead and give me a smile on this. This was the only item that was on the consent agenda that wasn't pulled. We had five people speak on it, and we did it individually because everything else had been pulled. So anyway, a smile. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 77.
Item number 77 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an R-5A single-family sub-district on property zoned an NC neighborhood commercial sub-district on property on the northeast side of Pine Street, east of Leland Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 31 notices, property owners from insurance view of their request, received one reply in favor, and no replies in opposition.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please. Speakers, I'm sorry.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the item number 77 per the City Plan Commission recommendation.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 78, please.
Item number 78 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1659 for an alcoholic beverage establishment used for a bar, lounge, or tavern on the south side of Main Street, west of Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 34 notices to property owners in terms of their request, received one reply in favor and no opposition.
Thank you. Ms.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll have to read a quick amendment just because we changed the days. I move to close the public hearing and approve SUP number 1695 with the following change. The alcohol beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern may only operate between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. the next day, Wednesday through Sunday.
Anything else? That's the motion. Is there a second? Ms. Medrano seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 79, please.
Item number 79 is a benefit assessment hearing on sidewalk paving for sidewalk group 03-135 and at the close of the hearing authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessment. Are there any speakers either in favor or opposition of the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Can I have a motion, please? Mr. Newman. Mr. Newman's moved it. All those, second. Mr. Atkins seconded it. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 80.
Item number 80 is a public hearing regarding a proposal for and an ordinance changing the name of Jerry Street between Vanguard Way and Schultz Road at to Vanguard Way. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers in opposition of the item read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor of the item that was just read into the record? If you'll please come forward. Again, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. The light will turn red when your time is up. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Diane Cheatham, and I live at 22 Vanguard Way, and I think this is kind of a no-brainer. We're paying for the signs to be changed. Nobody lives on Jerry Street, so I'm really just here if y'all have got any questions.
Terrific. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? No further speakers.
You know, it's not every day you have a street named after you and then you have to change it. Well, yeah, I'll tell you, Jerry Street, I'm having to change my street. Now, at the end of the day, you're exactly right. I could throw a baseball further than the length of that street. That's not saying a whole lot. So no opposition. Anyway, I move for approval.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. 81.
Item number 81 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath properties owned by Bishop Colorado Retail Plaza LP, located near the intersection of Colorado Boulevard and Bishop Avenue and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Bishop Colorado Retail Plaza LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. State law does require that I read the following statement into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please come forward and identify yourself, state your name and address for the record?
My name is Frank Clark. I'm a registered professional engineer with W&M Environmental Group, 906 East 18th Street in Plano, and I represent Bishop Retail Plaza on this application.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
There's a hospital, please.
I move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our afternoon speakers, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your afternoon speakers with Margaret Robinette. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, your first speaker is Margaret Robinette. Speakers will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Margaret Robinette, not present. Next speaker, Ozumba Lunk, not present. Next speaker is Brian Horton. Brian Horton, not present. Next speaker is Minnie Caruth. Minnie Caruth, not present. Next speaker, Jerlene Holland, not present. Next speaker, Frank Ward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Ward. My address is P.O. Box 50694, Dallas, Texas,
75250. Giving all glory to God, to the Mayor Tom Leppard and to the other council members. Today, Mr. Mayor, I stand before you and humble and in great humility. I understand that there have been some things put in place to limit the speaker's ability to speak at different meetings, all of, you know, at certain times. Truly, it is my not my desire to even have to come down here. I try to do things the right way. I have written letters to council members. Just a couple of weeks ago or so, I began to send emails. I was instructed, Mr. Mayor, by one council person to contact their office to set up an appointment. And another council member, I was able to set up an appointment. Earlier today, before you went to break, I was trying to get the attention of a council member that just ignored me and kept walking as I called their name. Like I said on many occasions, you know, I don't come down here to badger anyone or to be rude or disrespectful. But, you know, I'd like for you all to know that I would like to really be of service to you. I think that if we respect each other, if I ask to meet with you and you grant me that meeting, that would eliminate me coming down here. When I was a boy growing up years ago, I heard Elijah Muhammad call the white man the blue-eyed devil. And I thought that was really a string. But it was when I began a man, I understand that the white man wasn't a blue-eyed devil, but what he was really trying to do is get the attention of his people. And that's really what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to just get some information to my representatives, the people that represent me in my community. And I've been denied that opportunity. And because of that, I have to come down and try to voice my opinion, and I'm continuing to do that. So I'm just asking, going forward from today, if you will grant me that respect, that opportunity, I would be obliged to do the same for you. There would be no need for me to come down here, because really a lot of things that I have to say is really for your ears only. It's not for everybody. And I just ask that you would do that and let me know. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins. The next speaker will be Gwen Wooten.
My name is William Hopkins. Tom, what brought me down here, I grew up in West Dallas. I went to CF Carr, I went to George Washington Carver, I went to Edison, and I graduated at Pinkston. All these schools been dug up for lead, Tom. Every school I just named been dug up for lead or some kind of contaminants. It was a dump ground, so they put a little dirt over the dump ground, and they put some house. They put the housing authorities on top of the dump ground, Tom. But before they put the houses on top of the dump ground, it was you could go over there and get food from the dump ground, and you could eat, and you could feed your family from the dump ground before they put the Dallas Housing Authority on the toxic dump ground. So we get to Edison, and the RSR lead plant was running, and it was dumping lead on the football field right next door to it. And after practice, we would go off inside the lead plant to get to the Good Lux. It was a Good Lux. You sell hamburgers and drinks, and you have to go off inside the lead plant to buy these items. I don't know how the city gave the Good Lux a permit to sell food inside the RSR, in the same grounds. You have to go on the grounds of the RSR to buy Good Lux sandwiches. So we did that.
I played right across the street at the boys' club. I gave y'all the suit where the boys' club was in the suit that y'all sued to. Y'all sued the RSR lead plant. And you lied, and you say you didn't know nothing about it. You wrote Linda Bates a letter saying you didn't know nothing about it, but you sued the RSR lead plant. For the people, I don't know what you did with the money, but some of the money could build a park at Meta Nash. The playground is too small, Tom. I don't know if y'all think y'all going to ride a bus through and look at the park. The playground in Meta Nash is too small. You have to be like 4 or 5 to play on the playground. If you anything older than 4 or 5, you can't play. It has 2 swings. They took the swimming pool. They don't even have a swimming pool. They had the Deborah Walker decree money. You spent some of that money on the zoo. Some of the Deborah Walker decree money. The last city council person spent some of the Deborah Walker money on the zoo, and now y'all finna give away the zoo that the kids could have a nice playground and a swimming pool. You sued the RSR lead plant. You got the money for that, and you're stealing the money, and you can't get nobody to help us because we black. Fellas are. No, everybody know. We dying in West Dallas, Tom, and this is why I'm here. You can stop me from speaking. And I'm going to try some other means to let the people know that people dying in West Dallas, and not one black, Hispanic, Jewish, city council, white, nobody don't care about the blacks that's dying in West Dallas. And I'm going to keep coming. Get somewhere else.
Thank you very much.
I mean, thanks,
you. Okay.
Your next speaker is Gwen Wooten. Not present. Michael King will be followed by Joel Floyd.
Please, thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My quick concern is the way this council conducted business this morning relating to the zoo. How can we conduct business with a company that doesn't exist? It's been confirmed that the state of Texas haven't filed a charter. How can you do business without a company? Can I come down here without any type of form of money or business plan and get a contract to the city? I don't think so. We still have a good old boss system working here in the city of Dallas. You cannot transfer ownership of personal property or intellectual property that belongs to the citizens of Dallas without a public hearing. That's what you've done in this country, transfer a personal property that belongs to the citizens of Dallas. We pay too much billions of dollars in the zoo for capital funds. And for the employees, a lot of employees won't be coming back. I don't know if the ethnics, the makeup, would that be, but for the African Americans, I don't think none will be coming back to the zoo. And for you to be city leaders, how can you enter into a contract? It should be illegal to conduct business with a company that doesn't even exist. And this will come back and haunt the council. I will be referring to the Attorney General's office about this. You cannot transfer city assets without a public hearing from the citizens of the city. We put too much money into the zoo to hand it over and then put $11 million every year on the table. That zoo belongs to the citizens of Dallas. There's enough money there in City Hall that we could have kept the zoo ourselves. And the revenue generates the zoo. The question should have been asked, how much revenue generates the zoo before it's split with DZS? DZS gets 50% of the funds raised for the concession stuff at the zoo. That's part of their contract. If we show in $2 or $3 million coming in from revenue, that might be $6 million in revenue. So this was put too fast on the table. And I think everybody should have done their homework, but again, you cannot transfer city assets without public hearing from the citizens that belong to the citizens of Dallas. This has been into it. That's too much money we have invested in this zoo for non-profit coming to run it their way. They're not obligated to go by the city guidelines or nothing. It's a whole separate group. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Your final speaker, Joel Floyd, is not present. That concludes, Mr.
126, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.